All right, so the first thing we should do is probably call it to order and then roll call so we know who's here. If you could just say your name and the school that you are representing, or schools sometimes that you're representing, so we have it on record of who was here. I'll start with myself, Mike Kyle. I am the coach for Nova 42 Academy and also with some other schools across the Southern California region. I also have with me Ted Kim, who's been one of our judges. He'll jump in on from his room. It's CMSF business meeting. I think that's it. Yeah. Who else we got?
I'll speak next. I'm Robert Cannon. I'm from Wilshire Academy. I was the tournament director for this year's state tournament, and also a board member, and I think that's about all I need to say.
Cool.
I'll go. Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm the program director for Argumentation Communication Leadership Academy. I'm here in place of Willie from ACLA.
Great. Who else we got?
I guess I'll go next.
Okay.
My name's Jacqueline Calderon, and I'm the debate coach for Silver Creek Academy.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Victor, you're last.
Yeah, so I'm Victor. I coach at Joaquin Miller Middle School in Cupertino, as well as the Golden State Academy in all over the area. Nice. And I am the founder as well as the public forum coach, or head public forum coach.
Great. Thanks everybody for being here. I think we were hoping that we had a little bit more representation of some of the other schools that were at the tournament, but at least we have in a Silver Creek I haven't seen before, so I'm glad. Where is Silver Creek? Is that in the Bay Area?
Yes, it's in San Jose, kind of in the Silver Creek area.
Well, that makes sense. And it's also good to see ACLA here. Let's talk about, first of all, we have some, I don't know, Robert, you're calling these special orders. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Hold on. We just had someone just join us, too.
Oh, we did? Chris. Oh, yeah, Chris. We do. Sorry.
Paul, Chris, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Chris, if you could tell us your name and where you're from for the record. We are recording it, so we have meeting records.
Fantastic. And again, my apologies for jumping in here late. My name is Chris Wardner. I am from the Almaden Country Day School up in San Jose in Northern California, and I was hoping that if we were online, I might be able to join you folks for some further online competitions in your league next season. I'm here exploring that opportunity.
Well, we're definitely online seems to be the way to go on a lot of these things, so we should be talking about that today, I'm sure, and about what that means. And congratulations to you and your kids. Same with you, Victor, for Mass Junior. I saw that you guys did some good stuff up there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That was a fun competition for the little ones.
Yeah. All right. So, Robert, can you explain what you mean by special orders?
No, it was just the orders of agenda that we had. I probably shouldn't have used the word special. I just copied that from last year.
Okay. So, at this point in time, we have three board members for the California Middle School. And the reason for that wasn't that we wanted to be small or elite. It was just that we wanted to get this thing done and together. So we said, hey, there's three of us, let's make us the board members kind of thing. So just understand that we were the ones that figured out, hey, we got to put this thing together. Robert has been involved with the California Middle School tournament for a long time. I think 10 years, maybe?
Yeah,
something like that. And so we've been doing this alternating between Southern California and Northern California, and we've really made sure that we've tried to make it better. One of the things that many of you may not be aware of is that we use the Southern California Junior. Were there? Oh, we added somebody else.
Sorry, we just had someone else. Sorry, I just wanted to interrupt you before we can.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm late.
And can you give us your name and your school that you're representing?
Yes, I'm Daniel Victorino, and I represent QD Learning.
Awesome. Welcome.
And looks like we had Ricardo came up. Yeah.
Ricardo, if you could state your name and the school you represent.
Sure. Ricardo Velasquez, and the name is Velasquez Lange Youth Leadership Academy.
All right. right. And it looks like somebody else has come on board too here. I just see the letter A, so I'm not sure who.
Asha. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Asha, can you state your name and the school that you're representing?
Yeah, Asha Taylor, and I'm coming for QD Learning.
Oh, good. Okay.
Just to let all of you guys know that we are recording this so that we have some minutes to provide those who weren't able to attend the meeting. Just want to make sure everyone's aware that we are audio recording this.
Okay.
So, thank you guys for being here. You know, we want to continue to make the middle school state tournament, you know, amazing, and we've put a lot of effort into it. Just to let you know, it's been something that obviously this last online event was the biggest thing that we've ever done as far as the tournament size goes. And it would just happen to be online. Am I correct in saying that, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although last year, the 2019 was pretty close. 2019 was really big as well.
It was big. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, talking about the future, talking about what your concerns are and those kind of things. But to do that, we need to have the board. We do have a board right now. It includes myself, Victor, and Robert as the primary committee members of the board. And we've kind of taken on the responsibility of running the tournament, which I think has added to our ability to be board members in the sense that we know all the things that went right and all the things that didn't go so right with it. And it's been something that, you know, we've really put, I think, a really quality effort in. And I got to say, mostly, in my opinion, Robert, because one of the things that Robert did, and maybe some of you may not know, is that Robert put together the bylaws for the SCGFL, which is what we use primarily for the CMSF, because they obviously parallel so well together. And in doing that, by putting those together, we created a foundation to be able to have rules and have, you know, how do we resolve things and create those things. And although they still have, you know, need of improvement in some areas, I think they're pretty comprehensive and they've done a pretty good job. Along with that, especially difficult now, is that Robert also put together what we call our best practices guide, and he was able to put together, you know, what we should be doing and how the students should be setting up and how the coaches should do all these things. That was a huge endeavor along with the bylaws before that. And so I think really what I want to make sure that we're coming into is that we want to continue to formalize and to provide a way that we can all communicate and create the right kind of input, and so that we can make it better. And so, understand a little bit of the background, I hope, helps that. That, you know, this wasn't intended to be a three-person, you know, job. We would like it to include some other board members. One of those in particular needs to be a treasurer, especially when you get into a tournament this size. You need to be able to allocate and keep track. And make sure that the expenditures are going in the right direction and that there's an approval process and all that good stuff. And a treasurer really adds to that ability to do that. And so that's one of the things I know we want to add to the board. Robert, did you have any other board member positions in mind when you wrote that?
Well, just that I think there's two issues that we're really struggling against in this tournament. One was definitely treasurer. I mean, I think a lot of the treasurer duties were falling on myself from this past tournament, and it was problematic because there would be tournament needs that needed to be dealt with immediately, and then there would be frustration from judges who were charged judge fees, and they had sometimes legitimate, sometimes illegitimate claims to either have those fees or waive those fees. But I needed to hear what they had to say and understand the circumstances so that I could either say, no, the fee is good and you're going to owe it, or waive the fee. And that took me away from being able to run the tournament. So obviously we need somebody in that position. Additionally, and personally, I'm not a huge fan of this, but we've grown so much that we're going to have more protests. And as we get more protests, that also takes us away. And what we had kind of said with the SCJFL, which is the kind of parent organization, was that the vice president of that league would be the ombudsman at tournaments. And so for that league, that's Mike. And so Mike kind of stepped in for ombudsman at this previous tournament, but there were problems because sometimes Mike would have students in the room, and so it would be like, well, that's a conflict of interest. You know, he can't be the ombudsman when it potentially benefits his students. So Mike would have to step out, and then it would fall under, you know, to Victor or I, or and sometimes both. And then it starts to create this more complicated web of problems where we only have a three-person committee. And sometimes if there's three people in a room for an IE event where we're all conflicted, and that's a problem. We definitely need more board members in order to solve issues like that, so that if there is we could have a dedicated ombudsman, so that either Mike can focus on tabbing the IEs if we continue in that role, or Mike can serve as ombudsman and we have someone else to focus on the IEs, right? So right now our board positions are just, we have three board members and people just kind of fill those roles as they come up. So having a treasurer is a definite, and having an ombudsman is a definite, and that might mean moving people around from positions that they're in. Victor also stepped in and did a really great job as ombudsman for a couple of really difficult calls to make. And so we all kind of put on that hat. But I think kind of dividing that up and then going to the board if there are appeals to the ombudsman's decision, or if the ombudsman has people that are in conflict, that might be the better solution.
Victor, you had something?
Yeah, so I think it'd be very useful to give everyone a little context as to how our board works in regards to the overall structure of the organization, because you do have, Jacqueline and Chris, who I think are newer to the organization, and even myself, you know, because this is something we just created last year, as to how this board works in conjunction or separately from the SCJFL, I think would be very useful for everyone to understand, because I feel like knowing that, we could probably come up with some solutions.
Sure.
Because maybe some of these people aren't necessarily board members if they're not having, like, overall executive power over all decisions, but are maybe necessarily positions that we have to create knowing going into the next term and next year that we have to fill them in from the participants, the schools that are participating. But just knowing how everything works, I think, would help clarify things for everyone. Because I also want to know how this is going to work long run, since, as you can tell, I think we have more people from the Bay Area or from Northern California this year than we've had in the past, and we should expect that.
Especially online. Yeah, I think we may even get more. You bring up a great point, and it has been, you know, hopefully, Victor, you haven't seen it as two against one, but we have had two Southern California representatives against, you know, our one Northern California, and we definitely want to address that. That is something we are more than happy to balance that out. Now, if we go to five board members, we're still going to be uneven, and that's just the nature of the game, but sometimes it helps to have that odd number versus that even number, you know, when we're come time for voting and everything else. But pretty much, just so you guys know, Robert is the president of the Southern California Junior Forensic League, and I am the vice president. And so there is, we've heard rumblings, and we hear it. And I know that Victor, who's worked with us, hopefully has been able to see that we do our very best to be transparent, to be fair, to create rules that are not just rules that we created, but rules that were voted on and approved by committees. So, you know, we do want that. And I think it does make it a little easier when we have representation from a state perspective. And I think that's a really important point. Does that help clarify that up for Victor, or anything else you wanted to?
Can I add something to it?
Yeah, please.
So one thing that I want to point out is I'm 90% sure that I got to go back and check the bylaws, but I'm pretty sure that we have a requirement in our bylaws to have at least one representative from Northern California and Southern California. So in order to kind of balance some of the stuff that you were addressing earlier, I think kind of speaking to what Victor was talking about, when we formed so this tournament, the California Middle School Forensics League has been around, but just informally, for about 10 years. And then in 2018, we had a meeting in Northern California to kind of formalize, to have a codified set of rules so it wasn't just kind of wild, wild west of tournaments. When we did that, it was problematic of creating a whole new league out of whole cloth, because we had just done that in Southern California. So the decision was made to kind of make the state tournament a subsidiary of the Southern California League. And so the idea is that the state tournament can kind of have autonomy. We can make decisions that don't affect the Southern California, I should really almost do it this way, but the state league is autonomous and they can make decisions that run their tournament, but it's kind of overseen by the Southern California League in terms of financing, in terms of using their rules, and they're already set up as a nonprofit and things like that. So that was the decision making process. So our board members are basically subsidiary board members that have the right and the ability to change bylaws. I shouldn't say just the board members, but the decision for CMSF can change bylaws that don't apply to the SCJFL, if that makes sense.
So you should emphasize too that we did it because the SCJFL had the bylaws,
right?
And had all those things in place, and we could just jump and do it instead of trying to reinvent the wheel there. So I think that's an important concept that we started with. Not that we have to end there, but we should mention that Matt Conrad has joined. If Matt, you could state your name and the school you're representing here.
Hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll pop on my headset in a second here. I'm Matt Conrad, high school and middle school in Thousand Oaks. I can stay for a little bit. I have a bunch of grad school paperwork due tomorrow.
Well, we're happy to do.
So I'm hoping we have a nice, efficient meeting today. Yes. So, and hope everybody's staying safe.
It's always the try. We got to worry about Robert. He's downtown LA, so that's the one we got to worry about right now.
I have a friend who lives by the Grove. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to mention to you guys that this is, really the start. I hope that you see it as you're part of the pioneering of this league, this state, league to do this. I think that based on what we've been doing with nationals right now, Robert and I have been working pretty hard on creating a national tournament for middle school and elementary. We've been starting to raise sponsorship money. We've been starting to really look at technology in a different way. And I think that we're probably going to need to do that here too, at least address the idea. And again, another reason why we need to have a treasurer, because I think that we can fund this, therefore fund the trophies that we want, which are big, good trophies that these kids love. And to be able to do this in a way that really is really something to be proud of. So I'm happy that you're all here. I lost my agenda. It went away. Give me a second. I'll try to find it again.
Chris Phillip, the treasurer, is an additional board member.
Yeah, so I think we want to agree to, I think as a quorum, we can agree to the idea that we definitely need a treasurer and probably an ombudsman position. Whatever we call them as far as committee member doesn't really matter to me. It's up to you guys, whatever you feel. But we should identify there should be somebody assigned to those. So I'm suggesting that we agree that two more board members should be added to the existing three board member at this point. Do we have anybody that puts that motion or that seconds that motion?
Hold on. To clarify.
Yeah.
Is there anything we're voting on specifically as to how the makeup of the board will look like?
I think that's in our next point. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's okay. I was going to say to avoid either region always having total control, like, is there a way for us to stagger the election so that every other election, Southern California or Northern California has the majority?
Can I speak to that real quickly?
Yeah.
So the way that it's set up right now is that we have three board positions, and they are elected to 3-year terms. So, for example, last year Victor was elected to a 3-year term. So this is his first year of that 3 years. 2 years ago, I was elected to a 2-year term. So my board position is available for re-election or election, if voted out or whatever we decide. And then Mike was elected to a 3-year term 2 years ago. So next year, basically, Mike would be open for re-election. So that's the way that it's currently structured. If we want to do longer terms, if we expand it to 5, that does become complicated, right? So we have it works nicely if they're three people with 3-year terms, because you could stagger them pretty nice, and you have some internal memory. But that's something to consider if we do 5-year, and then maybe what we do is we do 3-year terms, and 1 year is just one person elected, and the other 2 years it's two people elected. So just as I think maybe we should break it apart and say, do we want to expand to 4 or 5 board members? and then we can start figuring out how to break it apart if that's
Are you, Victor, are you okay with that? If we have agreed, first of all, that we want to expand to five, and then we can bring up the idea of how we exactly do that. I do like the idea. I'd even like to see a central California representative. I don't think we have one, but it, at least allow for the idea that if we do, that would be good to have a representative of something besides just Northern and Southern California. Did I say Asha or Asha?
It's Asha. I was just going to ask for clarification on that too, because I was going to say, does, like, the treasurer sounds like it needs to be a 3-year term, but for the other person, does it have to be a 3-year term? Because maybe that's one way to solve it, is that that can rotate a little bit more consistently.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think that, you know, the consistency in the treasurer is probably a strong idea. You know, to make sure that taxes are being filed and all those good things. Because even as a nonprofit, you got to take care of some stuff. So that is.
Yeah, but the ombudsman doesn't need to be a 3-year term. Maybe that could be more rotationary, and that will get more diversity in that role for the other role.
I really like that idea, because I think it also makes people study the bylaws a little bit harder. And that never is a bad thing. So yeah, I love it. I think that's a really good idea. I guess I shouldn't have an opinion if I'm running the meeting. I have to be more objective. Matt Conrad?
Yeah, just the other thing I was going to say to tag on to that. There was a really good thing Kevin Minch from Truman State had in the NSDA rostrum about the need for a rural debate league to counter urban debate. So I think just kind of in the spirit of the Central Valley representative would just be a rural representative to represent the same thing. Because I think that my big thing, I think, nowadays is I think the political divide is rural versus urban, not so much as red state versus blue state right now. And because the thing is that with NorCal and SoCal generally, because it's almost always Bay Area and LA, is for the most part we have the same sensibilities. I tend to think of all the folks up north as our cousins, basically. And I'm sure they would probably say the same thing. So.
Well, I like how you slipped the political comment in there. Listen, we want to make
very sure, political time.
Yeah, it is definitely. We want to make sure that we take care of the business in order. So let's make sure. Let's get a vote right now to make sure that we're okay with the 5-member committee to go to that first, and then we can start talking about the next steps. So do I have a second on the
second?
Okay, thank you. So it's now been seconded. So let's put it to a vote to see. All those in favor of adding 2 more positions to the committee with their exact roles and titles to be determined.
Can I, before we take the vote, can I suggest that we do a visual vote so that, and then you can call off what you see for the record, because the eyes are going to be hard to hear. And so I think in this situation, it may be a better visual vote. And you just call off what you see in terms. So if we have a division of the house, if we say, you know, you're not calling it the way everybody else is seeing it, then we can address that.
So that I don't screw up anybody's name, would it be okay if all those voting aye state their name?
No, I think you just do a hand vote, and then you can call it as you don't have to call the names. You could just say, "In I see a 5-2 decision."
Right. Sounds good.
Are there 2 cutie learning votes here, though? Is that how I might have misunderstood?
It is one vote per school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One vote per school. So who will be voting for QD? Asha?
Sure. I'll take a vote for QD.
Okay. All right. So all those in favor of adding 2 more committee members at this point, please signify by raising your hand up. I see 1, 2, and Velasquez, and who else is in here?
JV.
I need also those people to turn on cameras so I can do that.
Well, Janelle doesn't need to if.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thanks. So voting affirmative would be Robert. No, I'll just count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I'll vote their way too. So it appears to be unanimous. Great. So moving on. We want to make sure that we are taking care of the officers that exist right now. And so it is Robert Cannon who is up for re-election or election, I guess, for that committee position. Robert, do we need to create any kind of nominating before that? How do you typically want to handle that?
I don't know. I mean, this is all uncharted territory
right
now.
Let's hear from you guys. Do you guys have any ideas or thoughts? So let's make sure that we're hearing your opinions. Victor?
So are we doing the election already for those two spots, or I thought we were going to discuss what the what that would look like before we move on to any election of, you know, anyone who's up for election or up for a new term.
I guess we could combine that re-election into the five spots so that we're electing everybody. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I think we should probably figure out what those spots look like before we, or what their roles are before we, you know, have anyone take on something that they might find overwhelming or something.
So, can I speak?
So
yes, Robert?
I'm sorry. Stephanie, did you have your hand up? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt if you... Okay.
No, I think Matt had his hand up.
All right, so...
So what I was going to say is I think it's important for us to kind of nail down what positions we're interested in having. You know, the positions that we've fallen into have been myself as tournament director, having Victor run debate tab, and having Mike run IE tab. We don't necessarily have to be locked into any of those positions. If we were to mirror what we had done this year, having those and an ombudsman and a treasurer would have... successfully, what am I trying to say? That would have gone a lot smoother for everybody involved, I think, and it would have put less stress on us, like before the tournament and even during the tournament.
Sure, and that's why we're here. Yeah, Matt.
Yeah. So just a quick question is for those of us stupid and arriving late, just real quick. So there's three positions right now: president, IEs, and debate. Is that it, or tournament director?
I don't think we ever called them. We just all were called committee members.
Oh, okay. So working committee ad hoc. Okay. So, but no titles thus far.
Not that we ever came up with. I mean, we called each other names, okay, but not titles.
Right. Yeah. Department of Redundancy Department. Yes.
Right. So, but the idea that there's an ombudsman and that there's a treasurer is important because they need to be assigned so that we can make sure that those are being taken care of on an annual basis. So I agree that those need to have titles. The other three, I'm not sure, and it's really up to you guys, if you think that there needs to be titles. I don't really see the need, but it's up to our committee here. Victor?
Yeah, I think the way it should work is we should have maybe two different categories of individuals that we need to assign roles and responsibilities and whether or not they have decision-making power in the organization. I guess you have like what the board created, which is individuals that I think theoretically make decisions before the tournament, right? Yeah. Which was Robert, yourself, myself, in regards to rules and how the tournament would operate. And I think like someone like the ombudsman, your tab directors, or your people who are tabbing, those could be people that we can designate and assign, I think, from within that same group, but also I think from the schools that are participating at the tournament, because I think that, you know, the ombudsman could be someone that we designate, but remember when we have protests, I think that the protest committee would have to be, unfortunately, ad hoc amongst, you know, coaches who are there, because like you said, even amongst, once you assign people on the board and specific assignments, those individuals I guarantee you'll find themselves at some point conflicted out of some sort of protest.
True.
So it might be useful for us to just set up a system where we, once a protest gets called, you know, we have a coach's room where we can just call, you know, from the three coaches or whatever coaches we need to fill in a protest committee, that the protest committee could be made up of board members along with some combination of non-conflicted coaches from the tournament itself. I don't know if that's something that could possibly be done. And I see, Robert, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just speaking about that, like if we did something where we did have a situation where we needed to have a consortium of coaches, it might be interesting to have like a randomizer and say, all right, this school, that school, and this school will be selected. And, you know, we have just based on the schools that are in attendance. And if we pull a request for those coaches to come, we wait, you know, 5 minutes. If we don't hear from those coaches, then we say, all right, we got to pull from a different, you know, group and start going down the line. That way it's not, we're not pulling in coaches that we know and we're thinking, oh, this person would side this way or vote this way. So I think there needs to be some sort of randomness to the coaches that we request to come in.
I agree to a point. I agree that there should be, but there should also be regional representation in that too. so that we're not just pulling in random Northern California coaches or random Southern California coaches into a meeting like that. So I think that as long as there's an idea that's also a consideration, I agree with you completely. So
could we make the list in advance so that we know the coaches and what region they're in, and then automate it that way where it pulls out from where we need? And do we want this to be a 3 or 5 person committee where it's made up completely from the coaching body, or is this only something we would implement in the case that the board itself couldn't be impartial?
I kind of like the latter. I like the latter, the idea that we make the ombudsman the rule, and then when there are conflicts, we go to this set of new, you know, of how to do it. Asha?
Yeah, I mean, because I just to put my 2 cents in there, but I feel like from my understanding of an ombudsman, like that's what they do, is if they can handle it, like initially, if it's an initial complaint they can handle, they just handle it. But if it's something that's like accelerated where you need to bring in coaches or bring in like even a tournament director, that would be something that they would oversee anyway. So it sounds like that's what the role includes anyway. So,
and I think we can come up with writing that we could submit to, you know, kind of agree to how that happens and when it happens, et cetera, so that we're there. And with that regional consideration, maybe two. All right, so I would like to table that, because what I think we'd need to do is write the actual language for it, submit it to you guys, and then have you actually vote on, you know, what you see in there and give us your feedback. And then if we agree unanimously, we go forward. If not, we may have to have another discussion to kind of, you know, label that down. But I think as a group, as a small committee like we have right here, just the amount of people that are here of schools, that we could probably come up with something pretty quick and hopefully agree to it and just get going on it. And if we do have issues, then we choose to, you know, bring it up and meet. We could even meet virtually like this. It's a lot easier than trying to put a meeting together where we all get together like that. All right. So I think I'm sorry, Victor, go ahead.
I was going to say, so that sounds like a different point that we can vote on at a different time.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like it has to be a part of this, the 5-member board that we're coming up with.
No, I think the key thing we need to accomplish now is that we agree that there will be, and we did agree that there will be these two other committee members, a treasurer and an ombudsperson. And I think that we can come up with this in an election form to say, you know, who would like to nominate or be nominated, they can nominate themselves for either of these two positions. Are we okay, just from a general point of view, are we okay with nominating people that are outside of this meeting today that we know are participants, you know, in this league and doing things? I think we should be open to the idea that we may want to do that. I don't want to nominate and vote somebody that says, I don't want to do that. But maybe there's some people we know that may want to.
So are we nominating them today to have the vote today, or are we nominating them and waiting for them to accept the nomination and then...
That's a good question, Victor. What do you think? What is your opinion?
Exactly. It depends on how quickly we can gather and get everyone to vote, you know, because I know that one of the main reasons why we did this because I think this was missing from the context as to why we did it with the SCJFL, is I know that from both of you guys, you told me that the amount of work that and effort it took to just get SCJFL up and running as a legal organization and entity was so much work that trying to do a separate one just for the state tournament was going to be a lot of work. So I just want to make sure that isn't going to happen again if we were to postpone this to allow more people to run.
That was a good
point. But I also do think that this is a very small group and the tournament was also very large, so it might be a good idea to let others have an opportunity to hear about what was discussed here and what, you know, was agreed
before
moving on. And I think we have time too. I think we could maybe do this at the end of the month or something.
Sure.
Give us some time to put it together. So I'm in favor of giving it some more
And Asha, you had your hand up.
And then I think Matt.
I was going to agree as well that I think this is something where we need to like put together what that's going to look like and then allow people to submit their nominations and decide on that. Because if we do it now, there might be people who don't understand what that position is or agree without understanding how much commitment that's going to require. And that needs to be taken into consideration. So I agree.
Which almost makes me think we should do it right away before people do figure it out. Matt, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think doing so would set a dangerous precedent that we volunteer people for jobs. And I think that's just the outreach that comes from having to just sell people on the organization. You know, and that, because that's the thing, is the tipping point comes when you get more and more credible people who buy into it and are willing to put in their blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, just saying, it reminds me of, you know, like LBJ running for re-election. You know, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. So, gotcha. So it makes us look bad if we try to put people out there, you know.
Okay. Ricardo?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we need to ascertain whether it's someone here of the group, because if we're going to vote someone from this group into the treasurer position today, have we even figured out if someone here has that facility, has that, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to be there. I mean, so like, if we're going to choose from amongst the non-treasurers, I'm not sure if that's the wisest path. So I think maybe we should first figure out if someone has that capability and the interest and the availability.
Okay, Robert?
One thing I will say is that just from previous SCJFL experience, the treasurer is always the hardest position to fill. No one ever seems to want to touch money, which is both good but also very frustrating when we need someone to accept checks and everything else. The other thing I would say, and this is going to sound very self-serving, but I do think that we should address the current, like the position that's up for re-election today. I think we should address that here because that motion is already, that's already in our bylaws. Like, this is an official meeting that has been pre-announced, and the idea of adding new board members was not pre-announced, but this position should be elected in this meeting as per our bylaws. I'm pointing at myself.
Victor?
Yeah, so I think this does require us, though, then to go and clearly define what each one of the board members is supposed to do, because I think that would definitely help us out. But I know in the past, like you said, we've just kind of given each other names and called each other whatever we wanted to, depending on what we were doing. I think that's bad in the long run if we're trying to become more structured and organized.
Sure.
And I think it might create some tensions between board members. One is clearly outlined as treasurer, and they have all of this work. And then you have people like myself or you don't really have outlined roles all the time. And, you know, sometimes we have stuff to do and sometimes we don't. So, and I think that knowing that these are year-long terms and knowing that there's probably stuff that we should be doing during the year, those are things that I think for myself personally, I didn't know if we were supposed to be doing things during the year. And knowing that next year and knowing what to expect from the board members will help, you know, I think, A, maybe set it up so that board members for the state tournament are meeting up on a more regular basis. And if the treasurer is trying to help create some awesome way of utilizing resources that we have or by, you know, trophies or find sponsorship, I think those are things where I think that the board does need to meet more frequently at that point as well. So I think that part of this meeting should then just clearly define what each of these five board members would be in charge of. So we know treasurer would be in charge of, just to clarify, does SCJFL have a treasurer already at the upper level, and this person would just be in charge of funds solely for the purpose of the state tournament?
I would think, yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, do they have access to funds from SCJFL, or will they only have access to whatever CMSF has either left over from the tournament or from tournament funds, or how?
Can I speak to that, Mike?
Yeah, Robert, you want to talk about that?
I think really what we need for a treasurer is not so much of having a lot of access to funds ahead of time. I mean, the idea of maybe fronting the trophies, that usually falls on the host of the tournament. But it's really collecting all of the fees, making sure that if judges miss rounds, that they're collecting those fees, having the discussion with either the tournament director or the coach or the judge to determine whether those fees are legitimate or not, and like all, running down, it's still problematic. There's a lot of schools that still haven't paid for the state tournament, and that was several weeks ago. I've sent several email reminders. It's things like that that need to be run down. It's just additional work that the tournament director should be focusing on other issues and not focusing on that.
So I suggest that we look at a couple of different things here. We could create perhaps the three-person you know, the three-person committee outside of the ombudsman and the treasurer, ombudsperson and the treasurer, is a tournament committee. In other words, their job is to organize the tournament, and that their assignments and duties are assigned via that three-member committees of the tournament committee. We could have it so that we make it officers, which always scares me a little bit, because I think sometimes, you know, we look at the officer position as more of the glory of having the title versus. I think our three committee without titles worked really well, in the sense that we were able to allocate the assignments based on our skill sets and our abilities versus, you know, just a title. We get somebody in a title who, you know, it's like a project at school. If we get somebody on the committee that doesn't pull their own weight, that means the other two people are screwed because they got to do more stuff. But, you know, with this, we can kind of assign it out a little bit easier without having to say, okay, you're supposed to do this, and then you say, well, I can't do that. That's kind of my opinion on it. Is there any other thoughts on how we organize the three other committee members? I mean, Victor, you had that point. Did you have an idea of how you'd like to see it?
Well, I think what would be good for us to is outline all of the different responsibilities that go into preparing for the tournament and during the tournament, and figuring out if there's ways for us to outline that. For example, like the treasurer seems to be based off of the fact that you have a tournament, you have fees that need to be collected beforehand, and you have to manage those before you let students into the tournament, as well as during the tournament, right? Judges missing rounds and collecting fees and talking to directors. The ombudsman, right, it seems like it's also another role that is clearly outlined and as to what they're doing. But the other three don't really have anything outlined. And I think that, you know, if there's also the need for them to meet at some point, for them to make the final determination as to what's going to happen, those should be things that should be outlined clearly as well, so that, you know, if people aren't doing their work, we're not waiting until they're 3 years for us to remove them. I think that if we have outlines and responsibilities, you know, laid out, it would just make it a lot easier for everyone to know what is expected of them. And also when they're falling behind, that we can hold them accountable and say, hey, you know, this is something that you were clearly put in charge of. Everyone voted you in for it, but you didn't necessarily do what you were expected. I'm not saying that because that's the other thing too. I don't think we even have any way of removing people if they don't feel like they're doing their job correctly, which is something else that might necessarily need to be, you know, explored in the long term as a mechanism of accountability. But I feel like if we don't have clear responsibilities for everyone, that could pose problems in the long run.
I think, can I speak to that?
Robert?
I think because the SCGFL follows Robert's Rules of Order, and there is a way to remove people from office through no vote of no confidence. So we could override, you know, the electability of someone. It's complicated, it's difficult, and kind of politically messy, but there is a way to remove people if they're not doing anything with the league that currently exists.
So how do the non-member schools counter that if they feel that the league overstepped their boundaries as well?
Well, we would
have
to...
that the FCJFL will be open to Northern California schools then to ensure that, you know, their voices are heard, you know, in case there is a vote of no confidence.
The SCGFL would never, they are not permitted to make any decisions that pertain to CMSF. So California Middle School Forensics is, like, it's like I said, it's protected. It's just a subsidiary that the SCGFL can't control. So there's no direct influence from SCGFL. But if CMSF decides that Robert has not done his job and he needs to be removed, then we would need to take a vote and then remove him, because a lack of confidence, no, a vote of no confidence would remove him.
So he's, I think
okay.
He's
I didn't know that
as an example of how that would work. I think he's using SCGFL as an example of how that would work, and not that SCGFL would be in charge of that.
What I was saying was that because we are that subsidiary, and the subsidiary uses, so since SCGFL uses Robert's Rules of Order, then, and there is a way to do it within Robert's Rules of Order, and we are part of that larger umbrella, we also use Robert's Rules of Order and can use that same concept, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know that we had something in place, but that's...
I want to talk to what Victor said, because I think the idea of outlining every responsibility, it could take some time. I mean, working on the bylaws with Robert for the SCGFL, that took I believe 3 days, and not just, you know, a 2 hour meeting each day. Some of those meetings are 8 hours long. There's a lot, and there's a lot to it. I think that's gives credit to, you know, what Robert specifically did as tournament director to be able to handle all that. There's a lot of stuff there. I almost want to say that we could address that. We could look at that. But I think in the meantime, I'd like to see us have those three people determined so that we can then have the five-person committee, so that then we can move forward on these ideas and issues and spell it out better. If we wait this too long on just creating the committee, I think that we're in limbo, that we're just not in a position where we can even make a decision. So I would suggest we accelerate it and make sure that we get the representation on that committee that we could. I understand that you know, we're not we may not have the right treasurer or the right ombudsman here, but my thought is that you guys all gave your time today to show up because you cared about this league and this tournament. And you wanted to be able to say, I want a voice in it. And I hope that means that you may also want to serve a role in it as well. Because if we wait too long, I think we lose that momentum of, hey, let's just get this going. We can always, honestly, like Robert said, we can vote no confidence if we need to remove somebody that's not doing it. And we can also make the terms fairly temporary for now, because we have that ability. So we can make them 1 year positions and say, we'll visit this again as we get kind of our stuff together. Robert?
I'm going to echo that. I think I like the idea of opening it up to other people, but I mean, we did announce this meeting. I mean, everybody that's here heard about the meeting, and I feel like it's just kind of kicking the can down the road, and we kind of need to solve some of these issues. And the longer we wait, the less likely they are to get done. And I almost feel like, because we have a group of people and that are here and present and willing to work on an issue, we should try to solve it if we can. So that would be my suggestion. I also kind of echo what you're saying about having a three-person ad hoc that can kind of solve problems based on skill set. I think I'm imagining, for example, let's say Victor, who has been running our debate tab. If Victor decides that he can no longer participate, or if we vote a no confidence for Victor and we need someone else to handle debate tab, but anyone who, let's say Matt gets elected, but Matt doesn't know how to run debate tab. He doesn't understand how debate is tabbed, and he's an IE coach. That starts to create real problems where we're like, okay, well then maybe we should shift Mike over to doing debate tab, but oh wait, Mike is elected in the IE tab position and he's not permitted to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think basing it off of our skill set might be a stronger idea in that moment.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments? Matt?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, always nice being mentioned, but yeah, two things. I think that it might be good, just as you know, you're all saying here, and as we're finding out right now in an election year, elections are decided by the people who show up, and I think it might be good to just do a 1 year, maybe, just steering committee. I will say off the bat, I'm here, but I don't have time. I completely understand. And if we're talking about SCJFL, for those of you who don't know, I was on the SCJFL board, but I was also under contract to write a book. So literally that was 12 to 16 hours a day for 8 months, which precluded pretty much everything except me showing up to my day job and then sitting in front of a computer. So, you know, duties got neglected. And it's funny because I actually didn't vote for myself for re-election. And so, but anyways... the second thing is just, yeah, I think there's a lot of people who like titles. My former USC president, Steve Sample, talked about the difference between being leader and doing leader. And, you know, people love titles, but doing leader is when Mike and Robert are sitting down and writing the damn Constitution and figuring it out and asking, you know, what are our blind spots here? I think going forward for the position that this organization is at right now, I think having the ad hoc committee for 1 year would be a good place to start. And my concern just among the people who are here is just making sure that we have good representation between NorCal and SoCal, because I think that besides having someone from the Central Valley and someone from the rural areas, there's always just going to be those blind spots that we don't know about, or we don't know what we don't know. And so, but I think the ad hoc committee and having some geographic representation and diversity would be a good thing. So that's my two cents.
All right. Just to mention on that, if we were to go to that, whereas the three person becomes a one term, we'd have to vote on that first, because that is already what we have in the bylaws, is this kind of consistency of, you know, having somebody there at least 3 years through as it goes through. And I honestly like that, keeping that in there, because I'd hate to see some of the knowledge lost because of somebody not, you know, staying in at least for a couple of times, especially in a tournament like we ran. There is so much things that we constantly are thinking about, and we're writing down constantly things that people have told us, you know, we need to change this, we need to change that. There's something about having that consistency. So I agree with you that I would like to see it, but I'd also at the same time say, let's just keep the three person and keep the consistency of it. But then as we get that third person plus the other two, now we're starting into, let's lay down the rules. Let's lay down what it is.
My only little thing, sorry, just to tag on to that, is that this is a long-term thing. This is a 20-year project, so I'm not worried about, you know, the year-to-year thing. And so, but yeah, that's a long-term thing. And if the two or three of you want to stick with it initially, that's perfectly fine. So sorry to interject, Robert and Victor.
I think, Robert, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, I'd like to make a formal motion to keep the three positions that already exist. I mean, it would take a two-thirds majority vote to overrule that anyway, because it is already written into our bylaws. So yeah. Keep the three the way they are. Add two new ones. And the two new ones would be an ombudsman and a treasurer, and
we already voted on that.
Well, but as titles, we did not vote on titles. I don't think.
Oh, gotcha.
And so that would be my formal motion.
All right, Victor. Wait, there is a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah. So hold on. The motion is keep the three ad ombudsman and treasurer, right?
As titles, but keep the three as an ad hoc.
I'm very confused over what we're doing. Are you asking if someone seconds this, or are you asking me to
say what I was doing? The motion was put out, so we need to see if there's a second on it. Ricardo, are you seconding, or do you have an issue?
Ricardo, you're muted.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to keep everybody with their video on. Yeah.
Good question. If I may, I thought Robert really well explained how flexibility is best versus a hardwired positioning. So fully convince me of that. Then why are we hardwire electing an ombudsman? Why don't we keep that flexibility? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Is that a question for me, or a question
with this proposal? I think he's just asking us in general, Ricardo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like I actually was persuaded that flexibility is a good thing. Right, so that people are not, you know, so that we can move people over. So then, why isn't that the case for the ombudsperson? Why isn't that also a floating?
I think we could do that too. The only what I was thinking is, because it seemed like there needed to be a treasurer and there needed to be an ombudsman. I'm happy to do that as well. If we have a five person team, we just now need to figure out how do we structure the election cycle.
I would recommend. My recommendation would be that. You don't do that to the treasurer position. You can't make that ad hoc. That just won't work.
Agreed.
And the ombudsman, I would like to see a year commitment to that at least. Then the idea that you really got to study. I mean, you got to read up those bylaws, and you have to gain experience doing it. I mean, an ombudsman's not a perfect position. It's one of the difficult ones for me, because you're taking in a lot of different issues in there, and you're trying to consider, you know, the fairness issue from a lot of different perspectives. So I think that I've grown in that position as an ombudsman, not that I've enjoyed it, but I know that I, you know, my experience has definitely helped me. So, Victor, do you have an issue?
So, to me, it sounds like we have the possibility of having a committee that is ad hoc and has a list of overall responsibilities that they need to work with, which is kind of what I was trying to clarify. I'm not saying that, like, we should necessarily, if we don't want to give everyone specific responsibilities, but at the very least, if you have three people that are supposedly in charge or more of this tournament, right, and there is a long-term set of planning that goes into it, imagining some of it even starts as soon as, you know, as soon as the tournament's over, right, with some of this, maybe some stuff during the summer, maybe stuff when the initial school year starts as well. I feel like just knowing what those people are doing would be useful, because if those people sound like if they're going to have a three-year term, then they should be doing things during the whole duration of those 3 years to encourage the growth of the CMSF. I feel like what you guys have described from the treasurer and abutment, those are people that should be on a year-to-year, you know, assignment, either from within the organization of the five board members, or maybe people that just get picked from coaches as well, to help us execute the tournament itself. Because it doesn't sound like those people have as much involvement necessarily in making decisions initially, right? Unless we're using what they have experienced as on their time as treasurer and as ombudsman to make new policies for the future. Like, for example, I know that you guys made some last-minute changes to judge fines and fees, and there was even a talk about using judge bonds in the future. Like, that could be something that a treasurer could have more information for us in the future, because we would know, you know, like Robert, for example, has probably the breakdown of how many schools haven't paid, how many people didn't have judges that showed up, which might help us justify creating, you know, a bond system in order for us to ensure that judges aren't dropping out, you know, in the future. So this is what I'm saying, like, before we, like, rush into, like, deciding and voting on, you know, oh yeah, we're going to do five and this is what everyone should be electing and nominating, I think it'd be a good idea to know not necessarily what every single possible role and responsibility is going to be, because obviously as everything's moving online, new challenges and, you know, obstacles will come up that we'll have to assign to someone. But, you know, we've done this long enough, we know, you know, what the tournament director should do, what the TAP staff should be doing. You know, if we want to make this bigger and compete to the equivalent of what CHASA does, right? We're going to need people to start reaching out to sponsors and community outreach in order for us to make sure that we have, you know, a successful tournament with large visibility. And so I think that we need to spend some more time on this to really outline if there's going to be an ad hoc committee that gets assigned different things based off of what they're in charge of. That's fine, but we should know what those responsibilities are in advance, and we should set up a requirement for those individuals to meet periodically to make sure that those things are being done going into the tournament. And then ombudsman, treasurer, any other TAP staff or tournament staff that we can come up with, we could, you know, pull from the ranks, you know, along the way. And I don't know if that's a possible solution to some of the vagueness that we have right now, because I think it's not very good.
We'll take one more comment here, but we did have a motion and we got to deal with that one. So, well, we'll take two because Asha wanted to say something to Matt.
Yeah, just real quick. The role, it's my understanding the roles are president, ombudsman, and treasurer. Is that correct?
No.
Or is it just yeah, ombudsman and treasurer?
Yeah, I don't think we want to have those titles. Okay. I mean, I don't think I want to see those titles, but that is not what has been recommended. You know, it's recommended.
Can we just call it a central committee then? Yeah, okay, yeah. So we'll call it the central committee, basically. That's fine. No, and, yes, and then the other question was just... greetings, yeah. the other question then was just so ombudsman and treasurer. So are we considering the ombudsman the tournament director, or is that going to be shared equally among all three people? Because it's my understanding an ombudsman is strictly like the person who makes all the calls on the rules, like the ethics appeals and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's what we have talked about, is the ombudsman is the rules. And that along with the committee would create a system, a process where if they had conflicts or they had issues, they could bring in additional resources.
Sure.
Before I get to that, Asha, did you have something?
Asha, yeah.
I was also trying to clarify because it sounded like there's two issues, like what we need to do today and then what stuff that
can be tabled right now, and a lot of it sounding like we did vote that we do want to bring on two additional, the treasurer and the ombudsman, but it sounds like now we're talking about like committees and like long-term, short-term, and it feels like a lot of that is very secondary, and a lot of that is because board members is different than committees and like officers or volunteers, and those are not something, at least what I'm hearing, again, that's what I'm clarifying, that needs to be discussed today. It sounds like what we really just need to focus on today is what this meeting, as Robert was saying, like will be sort of been announced and what was agreed on elections for today. Is that correct, or am I far off?
I think your interpretation is up for debate, but I would agree with it and say that we would want to continue the board members, and then how we structure it with committees and titles and those kind of things could be then, honestly, the way I look at it is that we're all really busy. I get it. And we all have these other commitments, et cetera. But the more we bring this out and labor around it, the less it's going to get done. I honestly think that if we get the three board members working, and their job is to create the committees and to integrate the ombudsman and to integrate the treasurer, most importantly, that I think that we can then present, even this summer, an idea that everyone could go, yeah, that sounds like that would work. Because I agree with Victor that we need to have those assignments out here, but I just don't agree with waiting to create the board member position before we get that. I think that we can create that. And if it comes down at the end of the summer that it doesn't make sense, trust me, I'll be the first one to say I'm backing out. I'm resigning from this board position, because honestly, I look at it this way, just from my perspective. if you don't have, at this point, if you don't have somebody like Robert Cannon involved in running this tournament is not going to happen, not that well. Because I've been around it, and I've seen it, and I've seen the work, and I know Matt said that Robert and I worked on the Constitution. No, Robert worked on the Constitution. I gave him some input and gave him some ideas, but this honestly, I think that whatever we want to create, whatever we want to do going forward and assign to, is that if we can get that three-person part of it done, then we can reach out to the other two. But I think that we should probably elect the two here if we have them. And I know Ricardo brought that up, and it's a good point. I mean, if we have them here, if somebody's willing to do it, let's do it, and let's get working on it. And if it doesn't work, we'll deal with that. If somebody's not pulling their weight, we'll deal with that. And if somebody wants to run for it, we could even say that we'll open it up for temporary positions for, ombudsman and treasurer at the end of summer for those that are really interested in doing it. But for now, I suggest we just get working. And we assign.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Who it is. Victor?
So then why don't we just call it five members without any names, like Ricardo was pointing out, like, there's no point in us labeling someone a treasurer or an ombudsman right now if we don't even know who those people are and their skill set, right? Like, if we hear about keeping it as big as possible for us to then fill in based off of expertise and the information we've gathered, then we should just keep everyone as just five board members with no, specific title. And then we figure out, as we get closer to the tournament, who would be the ombudsman, who would be the treasurer. Maybe those aren't even board member positions. Those are just positions we can have someone volunteer to take prior to the tournament, and one of us could, or we as a group, just help them to ensure that that's getting done. Because if not, it sounds like some board members have roles and responsibilities that we can clearly push them out for, while some of us can kind of, like, toe the line and never get pushed out,
Good point. So is that a motion? Wait, before that, Robert, I don't think we had a second on your
vote. Yeah, sorry.
So there wasn't a second, so I think the motion fails.
Yeah, without the second.
No, hold on. I thought I saw two hands go up. I thought I saw Ricardo and Matt. I'm sorry.
Ricardo, do you have a point?
If we need a second, I'll give a second to but what I'd like to say is, following up on Victor's point that, I think we probably have enough money coming in. I mean, I saw just from my team alone was a couple of grand.
We lost you.
No.
Uh-oh. Okay.
come back.
I think the motion that I was making, I mean, too much time has elapsed, so the motion that I made earlier is a dead motion, so someone would need to make a new motion. And I think also some of the discussion that's been made around that, I mean, based off of what Victor just said, and I saw a lot of heads nodding, it was counter to what I had motioned in the first place, because I motioned to keep the three and then add a treasurer and an ombudsman. What Victor just suggested was to have five board members, which is fine too. Like, I would vote for that. I'm totally done with that. What I want is, I just want us to move forward if we're going to move forward.
Yeah, I agree. Let's not belabor it. Victor, do you have that as a motion that you'd like to see a five-member committee, and therefore we would need to nominate?
Hold on one sec. I don't want to interrupt, but you shouldn't be making the motions, and also you have Jacqueline who's raising her hand.
Sorry. Who's raising their hand? I didn't see it.
Jacqueline, I think.
Jacqueline?
I know that I'm the new kid on the block, but as far as a treasurer goes, that probably needs to be one person designated because they're dealing with money. It's a pretty important position. And so I know, you know, you want people to have the jobs that they're best suited for. But, you know, money is funny. And you need to have one person designated for that. And that should not be a job that's shared by two people because it gets too butty. And the other position needs to be held by somebody who's probably a little bit fierce in some respects so that they can handle, you know, the job. So that, too, can probably be designated. The other three positions, I understand that you either want them. I think they should stay the way they are because they're the three people and they're working together and they like the way they're working together. So there's nothing wrong. It's like, why reinvent the wheel? So I don't know if I'm in position to make a motion.
You are.
But what I'm suggesting is that we keep the three positions that you've already had the same as they seem to be working, and then go ahead and find a treasurer and a ombudsman, I think. Am I saying that right? I'm used to calling it something else. So,
Ombudsperson is now probably the more politically correct, but rules committee, things like that. I agree. Okay, so the idea is that you're making a motion to basically say what Robert said. I think it was Robert's motion that we vote on the three right now, or your motion is actually to keep the three. I should be clear on that. And that they should work on getting the other two positions filled as quickly as possible, and then also creating their process or whatever at the same time. I'm just trying to summarize.
I think, yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
By the way, Ricardo came back.
Mm-hmm. I did hear a second on the motion. So with a second on the motion, we take it to a vote. We can still talk about it, obviously those things, but we have seconded it and we want to take it to a vote to see if that's what we want to go forward on. So to repeat the motion, the three stay, that would mean that Robert would stay in his position,
that's not the motion. The motion is to create a treasurer and an ombudsman position. Like, that's not keeping me where I'm at. That should be an entirely different discussion, right? I mean, like, whether or not...
Okay. So you want to amend the motion?
I don't think the motion was to re-elect Robert.
Well, the motion was to keep the existing three.
Keep the existing three positions,
yeah,
as positions. They are now. I don't think that necessarily means okay. The people who are...
So then let me revise that. So the three positions that are existing right now, the tournament committee per se, and then creating and then also approving that there will be a treasurer and an ombudsperson in that committee, that is the motion. Is that correct?
You have to ask Jacqueline. Jacqueline's the one who made the motion, so...
Yes, Jacqueline, am I...
I'm just trying to follow along.
All right, well, let's go with that one. Do we have a second on that motion?
That's what I seconded.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Could I post a comment that I was making before I was accidentally cut off?
Yeah, you were cut off. I apologize. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, why are we seemingly married to the idea that the treasurer has to be a board member? just as we can assign a tournament director, we can pay for a turn. We can pay for a tabber. We can also pay someone with all the incoming money. It's a decent amount of money that's coming into the tournament. We can pay for someone a la carte to handle our business for us. And it's a one tournament a year thing. We can pay someone whatever $400 or whatever, you know, to handle our business, and then none of us have to be shoehorned into a position we're not necessarily trained for professionally. I don't understand why it has to be a board member.
All right. Before Victor, we've got to take care of this motion that's been seconded. Okay. So we're going to vote on this as it was stated, to have the three positions still available on the tournament committee, adding a ombudsperson and a treasurer to the board. That is the motion at this point. All those in favor signify by raising your hand. Aye. 4, 5. All those signifying nay, raise your hand. 2. Okay, some people don't have their cameras turned on, so I can't count them.
Yeah, we need Ricardo and Jay. Okay, no. We got Ricardo. No, who's JV? Okay.
That she's part of QD. So we have a 5-3 vote. The motion passes. That is a majority. So at this point,
I motion to open elections for treasurer.
Okay. There's been a motion to open to elect a treasurer. Anyone want to second that motion?
And you have two competing motions to vote on?
No.
No?
No, we got to deal with this one. Okay, without a second, then this motion fails at this point.
I motion to elect an ombudsman.
Okay. There's a motion to elect an ombudsperson. Any seconds on that? All right. It seems like they want to have more discussion on this. What do you guys, you know, what? Victor, go ahead. Do you have something to bring to this?
So I wanted to kind of like come up with a middle ground for this, because I think I agree with Ricardo on a lot of this. Like, one, you guys already have a treasurer for the league in general, so the fact that we have two people monitoring funds, like, I guess my question, my first part of, I guess, of this is, does the CMSF have its funds separate from SCJFL in the sense
yes.
that this treasurer would be held responsible just for that section of that budget, correct?
That is the, okay. That is my thought on that.
Okay. So I think that I agree with Ricardo in the sense that both of these individuals don't necessarily need to be voted in now, but could be kind of picked ad hoc from either the committee members or from, you know, coaches prior to the tournament. But I do think that the organization does need to have 5 members in general who are voting and organizing things from the very beginning. So I guess you said that there's no way to create a second motion.
No, you can't at this point. We've already voted on that.
Oh, board. Well, then I motion to create a five-member board with an ombudsman and treasurer as designated roles that we need for the tournament, that the 5 members either, you know, that they're in charge of having to fill out, you mm-hmm. know.
I think we already did that. I think we just did that. I don't know that we
No, no. Yours is a 5 board member where the ombudsman and the treasurers are a part of that 5 board. What I'm saying is we need five members who are a part of the board, and then the treasurer and the ombudsman would be separate entities that would, you know, we would choose and, you know, elect someone.
That the 5-person board would select who those are?
I mean, that could be part of the process, or they don't. Maybe everyone votes on it like we've done this way, like we have done it this way. This sure. is something I think that we probably should spend time deciding on as well, because that's a question that, regardless of which one you choose, needs to be addressed, right? So the 3 board members vote.
We could call for nominations or assign or something, but in the sense that we increase the size of the board to 5 members, and that that committee works on the process of finding the positions, etc.
And they're in charge of organizing and putting together. Yeah, so my motion is a 5-member board with, you know, a separate ombudsman and treasurer to be determined via a different process.
Okay.
We don't know what that is yet. Those are things that we would have to determine and discuss.
Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay. So it's been seconded. So the motion is to create now a 5-member board, which the ombudsman and treasurer would not be a part of, but determined later, and could be members of the board if the board determines, I guess, right? It's open to that idea. So that we're just really increasing the board from 3 to 5 members. All those in favor of that motion, Victor, did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of that motion, signify by raising your hand, aye.
Sure.
1, 2, 3. Do I get to vote?
Really, yours should be a tiebreak.
Okay, I won't vote.
Yeah, tiebreaker. Yeah.
Okay. 4. Well, it's a tie. It is 4-4. So I will vote in favor of that. I think it's not a bad idea to bring in more people to give us kind of that opinion. Also, I think it'd be a good way to bring in more Northern California folk into this too, which I think this committee needs.
I motion to determine what the election cycle will be for those additional board seats.
All right, any second on that to determine the election cycle? Victor, yes? Okay, so let's vote. All those in favor of determining now the election cycle for that, raise your hand by signifying aye by raising your hand. That is a pass. That is 5. All right, so at this point, it is open for discussion on how we go about doing that. Is there any discussion on this issue? I'll bring something up. I like the idea that we, you know, I want to reiterate, I like the idea of consistency. I think when we first came up with the idea of a 3-year, 2-year, 1-year, it accomplished a lot by being able to say, okay, we know for a fact that somebody's going to be on that board that will be able to carry on and communicate. I think that's important. But now that we're adding, you know, 2 more members, is that as critical if maybe we could, in other words, there's some alternatives here. Just to put solutions out there, is the idea that you do one of those things where people just rotate, you know, that they somebody's going to serve 5 years, but they're once they get to 5, they automatically have to come off the board. I'm not a big fan of that, but that is one of the ways. The other way is to create titles, and therefore each of the titles have different election process. I think there's a way to say that majority of the committee have 1 year terms, whereas there's at least 2 that have a 2 or 3 year term to keep that consistency. These are all ideas I'm putting out there for discussion. Anybody else like to add to that?
I would suggest, I would like to make a motion that we consider doing 3-year terms the way we've already got, the way we've already set it up, and then 2 people would be elected, right? And then the next year, another 2 people would be elected, and last year, just 1 person would be elected. And they'd be elected for 3-year cycles.
So everybody is on a 3-year cycle?
That's the way it is currently. We're already on a 3-year cycle. The only
we're just alternating 3-year cycles.
Right.
I got you.
Right. That's the way that it was set up originally. The only reason why we had to do a 1-year, 2-year, and 3-year was to kind of kickstart that in 2018. So the 2018 business meeting, we had to have someone elected to a 1-year, a 2-year, and a 3-year cycle so that we could have this kind of offset going, because we didn't have a formalized board at that time. So gotcha. I would suggest just kind of gluing in what we already have. 1 year, it would be a 2-person election. The next year, it would be another 2-year, a 2-person election, and the next year, it would be a 1-person election, and then so on, just that cycle.
And then fill into the cycle. Okay, so that is the motion on the floor. Anybody want to second that motion?
So can you explain how that would work again, Robert, before we...
You almost need a whiteboard.
Yeah, I know. Yes, sorry. I only have my
know you're...
Is there a whiteboard feature on 8x8?
I can pull up a Google Doc and share that. But let me try to explain. Yeah. Can I clarify? So
yeah, please.
I think... All right, we've got 5 people, right? So let's number them 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. If persons 1 and 2 are elected this year, so we would have in 2020, persons 1 and 2 would be elected. Then in 2021, persons 3 and 4 would be reelected. And then in 2022, then person 5 would be elected. When we get to 2023, then persons 1 and 2 would be back up for election again, right? So everybody serves a 3-year term, but it's cycling. So the first persons one and two, they, if they were elected today, their term would be up. I guess they would serve in 21, 22, 23. So in the year 2024, persons one and two would need to be reelected. And then in 2025, persons three and four would be up for reelection. And then,
Do you have a, I'm sorry.
In 2026, that fifth person would be up for reelection.
Victor, you had a point?
Yeah, so how does this work with you, with Mike and I being in that right now currently, and also how do we take into consideration regional diversity that we want to maintain?
Well, it's already that way. I mean, right now the current system is so the current system is that, Victor, you were elected last year, so you have that position for 3 years. Your election won't come up until, what is it, 2022, right?
Yeah.
And so my position is up for re-election or open to be challenged this year. And so then if I were to be re-elected, then that would be that would cover me until 2020. What is it? 24. So I would serve 3 years, right? So 2021, 2022, 2023. So in 2024, that would be up for re-election as well.
Okay, anybody have any questions about that? Because that's complicated, but Asha?
Up, you're muted. Yeah,
we can't hear you.
She's not muted.
Yeah, it's a bad connection.
Yeah, try refreshing your screen. You may need to refresh, Asha. We can't hear you.
She shows up as muted on my screen. That's frustrating.
Connection's back, so I'll give it a second.
Okay. Now we can't hear
it
you.
It was really weird. I could hear it the whole time.
No,
all of you guys could hear her, but I could hear her.
I could see her, but not hear her. That was weird.
Yeah, we can.
Can you refresh your just completely close the tab, Asha, and refresh it?
Yeah, I downloaded the app actually, and I'm watching it on the app now. They If any of you are friends with me on social media, there's an Onion post, you know, that people are tired of saying, yeah, okay, sorry, no, you go.
Listen, I've been part of some of these other tournaments out there. One recently on Zoom, and some of them, you know, uploading. And I'm still really convinced that we've put together a superior platform with the 8x8 and forensics tournament. I got to tell you, I'm biased, but I had a lot of problems on that MBLA tournament with Zoom.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say we didn't do that one, but I'm agnostic. Our principal, Arena, has the best line I've heard so far, which is that we're building the plane as we're flying it. And so, you know, it's a period of experimentation and questioning everything. So I think it'll be interesting to see what new best practices pop up.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Is it working
sorry.
Now?
Yeah.
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, all I was yours. Just saying to clarify and to simplify. So basically, we're just saying is that the term starts when you're elected in and ends 3 years as of.
Yeah.
Right?
Chris just put that in the text, and I think he just said it so much simpler, which is you serve a 3 year term. That's it.
I'm bad at math, so I'm like, okay, wait. Like, and then you were
sorry, I made it way more complicated than it needed to be. You serve a 3 year term, period. Done.
Okay. It works.
I like that. I could do that. That math, so I could do.
That's the motion on the floor, is that everyone will serve a 3 year term depending on when they were elected. Anyone second that motion? I think we did have a second. I think Ricardo seconded that. And then Matt. All those that are willing to vote aye, raise your hand, signify aye. We're definitely there. There's five there. All right, so that is the motion. So at this point, I think there needs to be made a motion to vote for the additional. We should probably make a motion first to, is anyone interested in challenging Robert's position on the committee at this point to take his position? Great. Yeah, Victor?
Hold on. So we agreed on 3 year terms, right? Is that what the last motion
for five was, committee right? members?
Okay. What are we going to do about ensuring balance in regards to? I guess
it's already there. It's already in the bylaws.
It's already there?
Yeah. We have to have it.
What does it say specifically?
It says one representative from each, from Northern California and Southern California. We could up that. We could change that to two, right?
I motion to change it to having at least two representatives from Northern and Southern California, with the third one alternating.
Okay. The motion is to add the requirement that at least two of the five members be from one of the regions, not specifically Northern or Southern. Okay, it's been seconded. So all those in favor of that, at least two of the members, it looks like it's unanimous. Good job. All right, good. Moving on. So let's do with Robert's position first. Is there a motion to, is there anyone interested in challenging
Robert? Call for nominees. I think that's what you want to do.
Oh, call for nominees. Anybody want to take Robert out? Any nominees for that position within this group here? I don't see any at this point with cameras off. It's hard to say, but
I have a question. So are we all, afterwards, we're also selecting the next two?
The additional two, yes.
Okay, so even if Robert were taken out, he could still run for one of the next two. So,
true. All right, so at this point, no. I'm not seeing any nominations, so I'm going to say that there's not a motion on the floor for that.
I'll nominate myself.
Okay, Robert has been nominated for this position.
Can I nominate
any
myself?
Seconds? I second it, but you guys have to. Good. Thank you. So the second is on there. Please, all those in favor of keeping Robert on the committee, please.
Someone just joined us. Hold on.
Guests. Hello? Guest? Okay, we do have a majority here, but is there a guest that came in?
No, they just left. They're
gone. Okay, good. So that has been approved. Now let's go to nominating anyone for the two additional positions on that committee. Would anyone like to nominate?
Can I interject? I think one of these positions needs to be a two-year position. We need to elect a two-year and a three-year. Otherwise, we're going to have three people being elected.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So okay, one of just this one time only needs to be a two-year position, okay, so that we stagger it.
So let's nominate for the three-year position first.
How are we going to determine?
Hold on, we didn't take a vote. We didn't take a vote on what I just said. So we need to make sure that that's okay, that we nominate a two-year and a three-year. And then
the motion is that we create a two-year committee member position and a three-year committee member. All of those. Do we have a second for that?
Hold on. Is it two-year a temporary one, right? Because after that, whenever we nominate that person,
this election cycle, like today's election only, would be a two-year position. Every year after that would be a three-year position, keeping in line with all the other board positions.
And would that make sense for it to be the one that would alternate between Northern and Southern California, or does it have to be
my opinion would be to see the three-year position be Northern California. There's already two Southern California on it. All right, so the motion is, let's see if I can get this right, to have one of the committee members 2 years, and they can be from either Southern California or Northern California, and to have the second position be a three-year position, and that in our judgment that it be a Northern California nominee at this point. Anyone second that motion?
Second. Well, I made the motion. I can't second my motion.
Okay, Victor, you second or what?
I do. I also wanted to let you know that the person who was on guest is now on.
Yeah, he's also a representative from QD.
Oh, okay.
But maybe you can state.
Sorry, I was late.
No problem. If you want to state your name and then the school you represent.
My name is David Yang. I'm from QD Learning.
Great. Good to have you, David.
Thank you.
So we're in a discussion right now for voting. We do have a representative already assigned to QD for voting, and that is Asha, if that's okay with you, David.
Yes, Asha will be our representative.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we're going to continue moving forward on this. Victor, did I answer your question?
Yeah, he seconded. You asked if he seconded. He seconded, so I think you're in the middle of a vote.
Good. So we now have a motion to do what I just said. If I have to repeat it, I'm going to kill myself. All those in favor of adding the new committee positions as we designated with 2 years and 3 years, please signify by saying raising your hand, aye. Excellent. That motion passes. We are on our way. So let's nominate and think about the three-year position first.
I nominate Chris Wardner.
Okay. Is there a second for that nomination? Victor, excellent.
Klein, unfortunately.
Is there any other motions for, or any other nominees?
I'll nominate Asha.
Wait, hold on. Asha, are you
North California? No, Asha's Southern California.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Southern California.
I was thinking you're up north.
I'll have to leave it to the Bay Area folks.
All right.
I nominate Jacqueline.
Jacqueline's been nominated. Excellent. So, Robert, how do we conduct this election? Do we do a ballot?
Well, we've just done show of hands so far. So, I mean, we probably could do a ballot. We could do a private message ballot, but that gets a little sticky, you know?
Let's just move on. Let's try to get through this. I love it. All right, so let's do the show of hands just to do it. Yes, Chris, did you have a question?
Oh, I'm voting yes.
It's not a yes yet. Hang on. All right, so we'll vote on the first nominee, which is Chris Wardner, and then the second
nominee,
declined. Jack.
I declined
the nomination.
You declined?
Yeah, I have a...
All right. And then all those in favor of Jacqueline, what's your last name? I'm sorry. Jacqueline, what's your last name? Can't hear you.
Calderon,
she said.
Calderon. Okay, great. All those in favor of Jacqueline Calderon becoming one of the 3-year positions on the committee, please raise your hand to signify aye. That passes almost unanimously. That's awesome. All right. So welcome, Jacqueline. Welcome to the crew. Let's go to the fifth position. This is a 2-year position, and this can be either Northern California or Southern California. There is no limit on that. And any nominations for that position?
I'll continue my nomination with Asha.
There we go. Asha has been nominated. Do we have any other nominations? Wow. People just want to make it happen. I love it. All right, so let's vote. All those in favor of Asha joining the committee as the fifth committee member, please raise your hand, signify. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Everybody's loved around here. I love it. Good. So welcome. Thank you guys for that. That's a huge deal to get out of the way. We worked hard for it, so we should all be proud of ourselves for making that happen. It is a lot of work. Just to give you the heads up.
Yeah, after you've been elected, it's a lot of work.
No, that's when you tell them. You don't tell them before. Man, it's tough. It's a lot of work, and we appreciate all the work that has been done to this date. I know that everybody, the three of us, have worked pretty hard in different ways, and certainly on the tournament date itself. But I think if we really dig in and continue to reach out and to create a system where we can reach out and receive that kind of information, I think we can turn this into something even more powerful than it already is, and that's pretty significant, because I'm really proud of this state tournament. I think it does a great job of inclusivity. I think it allows for a real open and welcome kind of environment. And I think that we've all worked on, especially a guy like Danny Cantrell, can't give him enough credit, on the technology to make this still happen. So welcome to a committee that is hopefully just going to make things better and better. All right. Let's see. I don't have my phone. So what was the next order of, I think it was rules or regulations?
Rules and adjustments and protests.
Yeah. Do we have any discussion on rules and adjustments, things like that for the tournament?
I have like a critique of something we did at the tournament. When is that the right moment?
Well, it's like I always tell all my employees. I always tell them that I will listen to a critique or a complaint all day as long as it's followed by a solution or at least an idea of how to fix it. So you have an idea of maybe how we can fix it, I think it'd be a welcome discussion.
Yeah, so just let me know. I don't want to intrude on business. I'm willing to wait till...
This is the time for...
Okay.
Yeah, this is the time for rules, regulations.
All right, so I hope it doesn't cut out on me in the middle of my spiel. But basically, the tournament, understandably... I mean, Robert explained to me that, you know, there was a two-edged reason to go with a lot of the sort of power judges, the proven, you know, circuit judges, whatever. It was one that they were reliable and they were there and they had been hired at great cost, and also that giving the parents a chance to kind of see their kids and take it easy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I do understand that the reliability and kind of newbie judges slow down the tournament and all that, and I appreciate that. But what I also found, you know, that you know, some of these debate-centric judges weren't really the best for IEs, and I'd like to wean us off of the concept of sort of over-preferring them in all cases, and evening out the process so that maybe they can be there for the debate, but that they're not be that sort of top-heavy influence. Because I myself have seen kind of like some debate judges chuckle amongst themselves. Not at this tournament, of course, there was no place to chuckle. But I've seen them say, I got a DI round this time, and man, I hate those DI rounds. What I did was I just said, the person who took the longest to die or cry gets my first. And I can't stand that kind of sort of judge sabotage. And I've seen, and they are also the kind of judges that allow themselves to sit off to the side, because that's okay in debate, but it's completely inappropriate and interp. So they do a lot of those. So I would just like to put in my strenuous opposition to us continuing to do that, because I think we should just make it. I mean, even though we may get a few more oopsies from newbie judges, I'd rather take that than sort of almost judge sabotage, honestly. And I
okay. Yeah. Any suggestions on how we do that?
Well, evening it up as opposed to over-preferencing.
Okay. All right, Robert, you had your hand up next.
Yeah, I think there's a few things about that. First of all, I think that might be outside the purview of this committee to be able to decide that, because it depends on what judges we have available to the tournament, and that's going to change on a year-to-year basis. Second of all, there's a tendency to go with the higher judges in general, no matter whether they are debate judges or IE judges, just because they're being paid and they're more reliable because they're being paid. They're motivated differently, and what we don't want is judges who don't show. At a certain point, the tournament staff is really just worried about getting the round off, like getting a human being in there versus getting the best possible person to judge an event. Third of all, I would say, you know, Ricardo, you said that you would rather take the hit for having newbie judges than experienced judges, but respectfully, it's not you that's taking the hit. It's usually the tournament director. I mean, most people are turning to me saying, can you please get some quality judges? And when we put the survey out, that was overwhelmingly what people were saying, is get some quality judges. I'll also comment, I mean, I've been in this activity since 1993. I've been doing this, and I still do not know what a quality judge is. The quality judge is whoever votes for you. I mean, I try to tell parents this from the very beginning. You will always be disappointed in judges. It happens at every level, at every tournament, because you have a difference of opinion. And while I agree that, you know, that mentality of, I'll vote for the person who takes the longest to die is very disrespectful to these students who work really, really hard, I don't know what a debate judge is versus what an IE judge is, because ultimately a lay person who walks in off the street should be able to judge a public forum round just as much as they should be able to judge a DI round. It's public speaking. And so I think at the end of the day, we're just left with what judges do we have and how can we use them? But I understand the idea that people are frustrated with the quality of judges and they want the judges to be more experienced in certain events. But I think I worry about having a conversation in this meeting that it will start to derail about the quality of judges and what is a good judge, what makes a good judge. And then we lose sight of what is it that we're here to discuss for the purpose of this meeting, as like what can we change that's going to happen next year. So, Ricardo, hold on. I think I have the floor. But, you know, Ricardo was saying that we should have more IE judges and judging IEs, and that would mean that we'd have to have all judges register as either an IE judge or a debate judge primarily, which is, again, more work for the tournament staff to have to go through to assign them. We already kind of did that, which is when they signed up, we asked those questions and we already aligned them, and some people do both. So I think we already did it as much as possible. And I think I'm beg the committee to consider that we don't get lost in the weeds on a discussion about the quality of judges that will change from tournament to tournament.
Okay, Victor, you had the floor next.
Ooh, I respond to that.
Yeah.
I'll give you a chance, Roberto.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll give you a chance.
I I'm answering your call for a solution. I think there is a solution that mitigates the problem but doesn't eliminate it, because I wholeheartedly agree with Robert. No matter what steps you take to try to create the best quality judging pool, you're going to get parents complaining, you're going to get coaches complaining, you're going to get judges complaining. I think the best solution to this, and this is something I think that should be very easy to fix, because you guys have a wonderful person that codes for you literally in the middle of the tournament. If you guys have him add a similar rating system like Tab Room has in regards to how you can judge or you can rank your judges when you enter them into the pool, as either, A, I have had circuit experience for policy debate, or, you know, I am a lay judge who's in my first year of judging this. There's a base for you to collect that information, because everything is computerized, right? I imagine that there's a way for the system to then kind of select judges as you get into rounds that are more important in speech and debate to allocate the appropriate judges for bubble rounds, for example, or the Elam rounds. And I think that might be something that you might want to explore with, what's his name, Danny, right? Who was helping you guys.
We did,
you
know, do that.
Adjustments.
Okay. So let's go to, did we get somebody else join? It looks like Stella has come on board.
Yeah, and then Matt's also.
Stella, can you announce yourself, your name, and then the school you're representing for the record? Stella?
Stella!
Stella, you need to announce yourself for the record for in what school you represent, so we know, have it on the record.
I'll be going to get some takeout for us while, you know, to announce us.
Unfortunately, I don't know if I have the ability in Zoom, but I can't remove her. But she does need to acknowledge she's there.
I know who she is. If you want me to
describe.
Well, no. It's not about that. I mean, and we shouldn't be turning off her cameras much either, but I know we have connection issues. So, can you text her or call her to tell her to please be on?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be great. Okay. All right, Matt, you had your hand up next.
Yeah, it's just I want to completely back up what Ricardo said. I think that, and I really like Victor's solution. You know, I just had to put myself in for the NSDA judging entry, and that was the thing, was just, you know, first of all, there was what events can you judge, and what events are you qualified to judge as national elimination rounds, quarters, semis, finals? What is your experience? Why should the committee, you know, it was like applying to, for a job or applying to college. Like, what are your qualifications to judge this? And I just, my big thing, having been hardcore speech and hardcore debate at different times, is there's a granularity on both sides that a lot of people just missed. And, you know, the one I'll never forget is we had a kid at Lorena who was in state semifinals in HI about 5 or 6 years ago. And the other coach was a former professional actress, and we both watched the semifinal round. And there were one or two parent judges who just editorialized all over her ballot and missed all the subtleties that went into her performance. And it was, you know, because we'd charitably had her in the top three. And I think she got seventh because of a couple parent judges. It's the same thing in debate where you get someone who votes you down just because they don't agree with your particular argument. And so it just there's a lot of granularities on both sides. And particularly I can see with Ricardo's kids that it's even more frustrating. So I think if I would really urge everyone to consider what Victor's talking about in terms of, maybe not coach judges or something like that, but just experienced judges. So
I think what Robert is sharing is that there's a lot of technology that has been put into the system, I know that it could be more, and so we're taking your feedback right now, so that as a 5-person committee, we can literally figure out, okay, how do we do this? We can approach Danny, we can offer suggestions, and then, you know, bring it back to you guys and say, here's what we can come up with. But I think he is. Robert, are you sharing this?
Yeah, I'm trying to just show you guys that this is what we did. We did exactly what you're suggesting. We took the comments that coaches made when they entered their judges, and I painstakingly went through. It took me days to do this before the tournament, and I was up till literally 6 a.m. on multiple nights and mornings, or whatever you want to say, doing exactly what you're saying. And I went through each request when they're saying it's parliamentary debate at state. So this is just the first one I pulled up. So, I mean, there's a lot of people just left them blank and didn't give me any information. But if you give me information, then I took that information and painstakingly went through every single judge and included that. So I'm just trying to say, like, we did that this tournament.
I'd like to make a quick comment, too, and then I'll recognize Asha, who's got her hand up here. One of the things that I was in charge of a lot of times was pushing judges. And I have to tell you, there was several times when I ran out of judges. So the idea of being able to push the appropriate judge or the right judge wasn't even a consideration for me. It was actually finding a judge, hunting judges down and getting them to actually do it. The computer typically will try to make the tournament as clean as possible. And that means that some judges are eliminated for that fact. And that's an important thing. I think probably even more than the quality of the judge is that we're not getting judges seeing the same people again, especially if they're not quality. So the idea that we can just say push the better judges or manage it and those kind of things, we did not have that ability at the state tournament from my experience because so many of the judges were not available. And there was a one round in particular where I believe we pushed over 10 judges. And now a normal tournament, that's easy because you got judges standing there and they're like, push me a ballot, give me a ballot. And online, you're looking at that and saying, who do I think is on their phone right now and going to take this ballot? And then by that time, you've run out of all the judges and you're just like, who is breathing that can take this ballot kind of thing? Asha, I want to go to you next. You had your hand up and then we'll go to Victor.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I said, it's a three-step process. I mean, having also debated in college and in high school, and I kind of see that what you're saying, the difference like of the judges we had in college. But I also agree that there's a little bit of, we want to teach these kids that this is a public speaking event, that you need to speak for no matter your judge. You don't always get the best quality of judges. So being able to, you know, direct your speech to them no matter who you're talking to is important because that's communication. But I also agree that if we can try to control for as much as possible. You can't control 100% of the variables because there is times when you're at a tournament where it's like, I just need a warm body who can sit there and who can, you know, judge. So I think, you know, what Victor brought up is a good suggestion. I think what already has been done to try to control for that, but also just being forgiving and understanding that we can't always 100% control. But another aspect on a minor micro role is also judges training. I feel like that, if anything else, might be another step up. I know it was discussed before previously that we need to do a better job of changing, training the judges we have, having them, like, we shouldn't be having a parent judging for their first time at state. They need to be, you know, going and judging at tournaments beforehand if we're going to pull them in. Those little minor things will help to control for the variables more and more, but just knowing that we can't get 100% perfect control with this.
Yep. Victor, you had your hand up.
Do you want to, real fast, can I interject? We have Stella here. Stella should state her name.
I'm sorry. Stella, if you can state your name and the school you represent for the record, so because we're recording.
You're can't muted, Stella.
You're muted. Stella, you're muted. Yeah. You're still muted.
Okay.
There you go.
So, my name is Liang Yibu, and the school I'm representing is Velasquez Liang Yiyu's Leadership Academy.
Great.
And what other school you asked me to?
No, that's it. Thank you. We just needed, that's perfect. We just needed you to put it on the record. Victor, you had your hand up.
Yeah, so I had a question for Robert because I couldn't tell if there was a rating system on the judges that you showed. I saw that there was like a giant little paragraph section where somebody could type in notes. But how does the system use that information to decide where the judge goes? Or is that something that we as a tap person has to read and then make the judgment call? Okay, because what I was talking about was a system where you basically, because the way the tap room has it is you put in your judge, you select the events you want them to judge in, and then you rate them from A through E, I believe, as to what their experience is. And each letter has a designated, like, description for it. So A would be, has judged on the national circuit, you know, for an extended period of time or 4 years plus or something. Limited experience at the national level. Extensive experience at the local level. Limited experience at the local level. Little to no judging experience. And I think there's a few other ones as well. I think something like that might be a system that might be more useful for us to have, because if there's a way for that to just then be automated and have the tabbing software pick up on it and put the right judge, it might mitigate some of the problem. But again, I don't think there's a way for us to completely get rid of it. And we just have to understand and let these students know that, like, yes, you're eventually, you're going to get some some debate judge who's going to vote for the biggest impact in the DI round, and that's going to have to be something you're going to have to live with. You're going to get a judge who sometimes interjects with their own personal opinion in the round, and you're just going to have to live with that decision. But you know, we do definitely got to, you know, fight for our children. You could say. But I think that there's only so much that we can do, and I think that, you know, Robert and Mike have definitely done what they could up to this point, but I think that moving forward, adding that rating system, I think would be probably helpful, especially if the tabulation software can pick up on it, similar like it does in TAP.
May I speak?
Yes, I don't see you, so yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I think I've completely been misconstrued. That's not what I'm saying. But we all know that there are judges that when we have no one else, we give it to whomever. That's not the issue. The issue is that Robert told me he programmatically left out parents of mine and judges of mine in favor of the power judges. And I'm asking that practice be stopped. So in other words, I had judges of mine who all day long on Friday never judged a single round. Right, and these are qualified judges. So what I'm saying is, I'm asking us to desist from using the power judges as like weighted, preferable people, and have it be an honest, even mix. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to this issue of can we get the ideal judge. Obviously, I'm miffed that there was a judge who refused to even look up at one of my students. Like, of course, that's not good for them to never, ever look up, even if that's okay in policy debate. But that's not the issue. I'm just saying we need to take out this formula where we prefer them because they were hired, because they're more reliable. I think we need to, just as we just finished saying that we need to leave it to whatever is. Okay, fine. Let's leave it to whatever is, and let's not weight it, weight. Let's not weight it, and let's let the dice fall where they may. Because I had some really qualified judges who didn't get to judge at all, who waited all day long, and I was given the explanation that there were these power judges who were paid for at a high amount, and that we were making the best use of them. And I'm saying we need to stop that. It should be random.
Okay, and if I can comment too, I'm not a big fan of the hired judges, but I can tell you this: the state tournament wouldn't have happened if there wasn't these hired judges. And the idea that you're saying we shouldn't prioritize them, from a financial aspect, as a committee, we should look at that too, because a lot of schools had qualified judges, but they also had a lot of judges that weren't picking up their ballots. And a lot of times when we have to push them, it happens again and again, we do look to the hired judge and say, they're here, they take it right away. We keep the tournament on schedule. So just to explain, maybe that's not the best thing in the world. And I hear what you're saying. But the idea that we could just easily say we're not going to push to hire judges, or we're not going to use these, these other judges. I think once you run the judges component of Tab Room, you might have a different perspective on that, because it is really frustrating to constantly push to a couple of judges that don't pick up. And then you've got these hired judges standing around and ready to take the ballot. You're going to say, you know what? This round's got to go. You're going to get a lot more complaints out of the tournament being late than you are about the quality of judges. And that's just my experience with it. So we don't want to push hired judges necessarily. But if the tournament doesn't get enough judges, we have one school in particular that sends one or two judges maybe, and they bring 30 kids. And so the idea is that 30 kids with one or two judges means we have to hire. So maybe the real condition here is that we raise the uncovered judge fee, which it's already incredibly high. And then that's going to really not make a lot of people happy. So I worry that we're coming up with a good position, what you're saying, and you're saying to manage it, but you're not looking through the logistics of how it could be done, especially the fact we're not getting enough judges.
Used at all, though? My judges were not used at all.
Wait. Order.
Robert, I'm sorry.
May I get a turn?
Robert had his hand up next.
So, again, I'm just going to encourage you, all of us, to move the conversation along, because, like, we will discuss this. This conversation will never end. It keeps going. And in defense of what I had said to you, Ricardo, what I'd emailed Stella was that I will prioritize any judges that you guys give, but that's, you know, the problem is if your judges don't pick up their ballots, that incurs more late fees. So with the higher judges, that's easier to do because they're financially motivated. They pick up their ballots and they've been more trained. They pick up those ballots, so we get the tournament running snappier. That's why we relied on them, not because they're power judges or anything like that. There's nothing powerful about them. They're just prioritized to get more ballots than everybody else, and we were able to cover with them. I worry that this conversation, I don't know, I feel like as a tournament director... I feel like as a tournament director, there are a certain number of decisions that need to be made in the moment, and this is starting to encroach on what a tournament director's decision-making is. That doesn't mean that we can't put it to a committee and we can't have rules that, you know, require a tournament director to do this or that, but you start to limit what the tournament director's decisions are, and they're made in order to make the tournament run efficiently and on time.
Okay, I know, but I'm not saying
guys, hang on. Stella had her hand up. So go ahead, Stella.
Yeah, and in the past, we have been over-providing the judges. For the state, we have like over 30-some judges there. And, you know, 80% judges are not being used. And this happened in the previous tournament as well. And we always oversupply this judges thing. And you guys, you know, anybody want to purchase it, I don't mind. They can provide their own stuff because they didn't provide enough judges, but that's not became our issue here. And also our judges idle there for a whole day, 3 days. It's so, so stressful. You know, you better put them in some job instead of put them, you know, stay there for idle for 3 days. So I suggest, you know, if you put one puts and $50, that's really unreasonable. If you put three times and this one never show up, that's a real problem. Everybody has a family. It's not only email, only judging. Please don't make this one so complicated. And everybody say, oh, you guys, what are doing? Always penalty. You just want to get money from us. You know, some ridiculous thing happening. You know, you have to be make us look like moral people. Okay. And for the people don't have judges, we need to penalize those people. You know, you don't penalize everybody. Make everybody just like jumping the cliffs. You know, that's not good. You know, just be reasonable to do the business.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important.
Your point is taken. And we, as a committee, will address. I think it was Victor first and then Asha.
Yeah,
so... Let's agree that after Asha, we move on to other issues besides the judges, because I think we have some other ones. I think we've heard a lot of good
things here. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot in regards to judging, and I think what we have to realize is that not all of our judges are going to get used every single round. Like, I had a ton of judges that sat around over the weekend, that 3-day tournament, and were wondering why they weren't used. But I think that, you know, even if you supply the bare minimum, I believe, you're going to still have your judges sitting around at least once or twice during the tournament. And that's something that you need to train and educate your judges on, that, hey, you know, it's very well possible you could sit around all day, day one, and not be then you get used for every single elimination round at the end of the tournament, or that you get used for every single one of the prelims, and then all of a sudden you go absent into the elimination rounds. Like I'm sure all of us have dealt with the swarm of parents right before elim asking to go home because their child is no longer in the tournament. So this is, a lot of this is going to come down, and I hate to say it, it's going to come down to the ability of you managing your parents and not the business tournament, you know, having to handle, you know, what should have been the expectations set forth in advance. Because, you know, I definitely had a lot of parents that also sat around this weekend. I also had to pay out judges to, you know, to be part of my organization to avoid having to pay fees through the tournament, as well as to make sure that our coaches could judge and help our students. And at the end of the day, you know, even my coaches were sitting around a few rounds without being used, and that's just a part of the game. I think that's something that, you know, needs to be explained to the parents, and if it's not being explained, they're not understanding it. There's only so much you're going to need to get them to understand it. Hopefully, with more years of their students doing this activity, they'll realize that, you know, what they see at one tournament may be different than what another tournament does.
But through prioritization,
go ahead, Victor.
I mean, and you know, even if you're talking about prioritization, like, what? How do we agree as to who's going to be prioritized? Who's, like, not everyone's going to agree with how one program wants the judges prioritized over another, and that's why, you know, it's typically left to the software to just decide it, you know, on its own. And so, I think that I agree at this point that we've already spent a lot of time talking about it. The judging fees, in my opinion, were definitely not as unfair as I think some people are making it seem like. I do think that what we need to do is establish a bond system, because I think that it would encourage judges not to, you know, miss ballots in the same way that a hired judge is incentivized to pick up a ballot. Because in one instance, you have someone making money, and in another instance, they're trying to not lose that money. I think that has worked for nationals. I know it's worked for the California high school tournament. And so I think that, you know, that's something that I think that as a committee we should seriously consider implementing and imposing from the very beginning. And that's something that the treasurer would also be in charge of, you know, monitoring as well as the tournament happens.
Okay. Yeah. Asha, you had last point on this?
You're muted.
There, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I fully hear what Velasquez is saying, and I think, like I said, it's hard. It's definitely hard. Like, so I think we've all experienced, you know, ups and downs with tournaments and, like, things that don't work or things that could be better, and I think that just for this meeting, in the sake of time, we won't be able to get to the end of it, as Robert brought up. It's an ongoing thing. Like, I know there's tournaments where I've sat there and judged back to back to back when I know we had parent judges that we brought with us, and they only judged once, and I'm sitting here going, I'm exhausted. Do I get a lunch break? Like, you know, when do I pee? And that doesn't happen sometimes, but you just, like, especially as a coach and a judge and a competitor, you make that sacrifice because you're like, this is how we all have to work together as this community to keep this thing going. And yes, like I said, it's from the beginning of tournaments, there's always some issue, especially with judging, where it, you know, as much as you want it to work out perfectly, it doesn't. But I just think, and I do hear, especially for Velasquez, that if there's a way that it can be solved, or a way that this could be looked at differently, I think it's just not today, we won't, may not be able to get to that. But I do empathize, because like I said, I've been through that where, you know, you have all these parents sitting there and they're like, okay, well, we're here, and then crickets. So I think it's good to we bring up these issues, because we always want to be making the best better and moving forward. So I think there are some good suggestions brought up already, and then especially for Velasquez, if they have suggestions to bring up that could help solve this, to that, as Robert and Mike brought up, we as a committee can look into to see how we can make this better. But it just won't happen right now, potentially. Maybe that's just my thought and opinion on it, but that's all I can do. It's not going to be solved in this moment. But I do hear it.
We could solve it right now, but it would take way too long.
Listen, we will look back at these notes.
We will look at all these things, and we will talk about how do we make them better and how do they figure into it. That's our pledge as a committee, to really help and to consider that. So it was heard, it was recorded, and we will definitely look into it. Let's open this floor, though, to any other issues that may have need to be addressed besides this judge issue. Victor, I just saw your hand go up.
Yeah. Can we update the rule book for public forum in order for it to make sure that it either reflects the CHASA or NSDA bylaws once they are updated as to whether or not they follow the pilot rules? Because I know that those were only introduced, I think, for this year. I think they will be voted on, I think, as to whether or not those are permanent changes, 3 minutes of prep, the 3 minutes of summary speech. So I think it'd be a good idea for us to make sure that those line up with whatever the rules are for next year, because it was a little confusing, right? We had kids who were claiming that it was 3 minutes of prep and 3 minutes of summary, and you know, thank God we did not get into a protest in regards to those specific, you know, issues, you know. But I imagine that if they continue to go into two different directions, we'll run into that problem.
Point of clarification, are you asking for us to follow NSDA for everything, or follow, for public forum, or the times of the speeches? Meaning if NSBA makes additional rule changes that our league should follow those additional rule changes or only the time changes?
I think we should just follow some set of rules, whether it's CHASA or NSDA. I know CHASA is going towards making a lot of their rules to be closely aligned with, I think, what NSDA has done in some of the events. But I do think that in events right now where there are, you know, conflicting rules, it would be a good idea to make sure that we avoid that next year by making it very clear and explicit as to what the rules are. And the only reason why I'm also saying this as well is because those rules will either be permanently put into, you know, action next year across the whole state and, you know, country. And so it'd be weird if you just had SEJFL always using the old rules of 2 minutes as opposed to the new ones. So I don't know if that's something that necessarily requires us to make a change now, but I think it might be something for us to explore.
Sure. A point of clarification as ombudsman for that tournament, too. It would have been totally okay if somebody protested because the rules were published and the times were published. So we did take care of that issue. We didn't clarify that we're not using pilot rules for sure, and we could maybe do a better job of that. But there were times, and
I just think it would avoid the delays and slowdowns like we've had if we just make sure that in advance we have those.
Goes back to judge training and some of the other issues that were brought up here about, you know, making sure people know that there are the rules and here's how we're going to do it and follow it and all that good stuff. So I appreciate that. We'll definitely address that for sure. Any other? I think, Asha, you had your hand up after Victor.
Yeah. Oh, I think mine was similar, Levain, about the rules, if we can update and clarify some of the rules. Because even when I was judging this weekend, I saw some kids are getting pretty creative and inventive with camera work, and I know it's going to possibly pop up at nationals. And I'm not sure some of those things are allowed, and it's not mentioned in the bylaws. So I'm like, how are judges going to react to that from some of the creative things I saw? And then second one was just about 8x8, but that was what I had to bring up, was if we could possibly go through and just add some clarifications like Victor had, and then also had a question about 8x8.
Okay. I thought I saw Stella with her hand up, and then Robert next.
Yeah, and for that 8x8 issue, we do have a problem. One kid particular has the high-end, low-end Apple device, and he could not really click the link, go to our meeting. So I have to manually change it to 8x8.vc and remove the forensic stuff to make him in. So basically, this software system do have some bugs, and that make me worried. You know, I was happy to make him into the system, but if not able to do, then we got $50 penalty for not showing up again. So basically, we do have some bugs to solve for the system. Yeah, I don't know how many people have experience. So only one device, really high-end device, has the problem. And also the judge training issue, I prefer we use younger people instead of parents as much as possible, since they are more technology oriented and they know how to use it really efficiently. And parents, besides, you know, you never predict which kids you need your help. You could not really 100% focus to the tournament. No matter how they try, it's impossible. So we need try to, you know, every team train the young people, high schoolers, to do the middle schooler and elementary school student. They are so good, and they are available, you know, especially for the next the nationals coming. And high schoolers just have a period, has no classes. So we try to use them as much as possible. That way, you know, they don't have technology easy where to find what. They're so smart. So that's my, trying to put an effort onto, you know, just get rid of all the parents if possible. Yeah.
Okay, Robert, you were next.
Real quick, Asha, what was it that you just mentioned? I just lost my train of thought because I was focusing on what Stella said. Now I can't remember. I was going to respond to something that you said before the 8x8. What was your concern?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, so I think it's similar that I saw 8x8, there's a lot of lag and some issues with audio, and I had kids asking me questions like, do they need to get faster internet?
Before the 8x8, before your concerns about 8x8, you said something else before.
Oh, about the bylaws and updating them and clarifying?
Yeah.
That was the camera part? Thing, I believe. It was the camera.
So about the concern for nationals. One of the decisions that we had kind of discussed beforehand was to, because this is a new medium, you know, because we aren't normally under pre-COVID-19 situations doing tournaments online, that the norms of this are still new. And what is permitted is different and may, like, for example, if a student wants to use an electronic slideshow as their visual aid, then, I mean, why shouldn't they? I mean, this is a whole new medium, and if the technology supports that, then I feel like that's the student's right to do, if as long as the event allows for visual aids, obviously.
So they're like manipulating the camera, because I saw in interp specifically, I saw kids like using the camera like as almost a part of their performance.
But I think if they're moving it, and I think we broke that in the best practices, that they should not move the camera once they've started the
event. They weren't moving the camera.
But if they're using depth, for example, you know, and they're using that kind of thing in order to enhance their performance, I think that's all within the rules, and I think that's creative and interesting, and we should embrace that as like a new approach on how we're doing speech electronically.
Okay, I just wanted to check and see that's okay, because I saw kids, like I said, almost using, like, it gets, like, I don't want, like, judges to be like, oh, they're using it as a prop, because, like, they were almost, it was almost that fine line between, like, so I saw one kid, he used it to show, like, third-person perspective, so he went behind the camera and started acting like he was the camera in him were one. It was weird. I was like, okay, I mean, this has now become a film class, and
I mean, those are things we're going to have to address. We're going to have to
figure out. Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. Matt?
It was crazy. I liked it. I wasn't sure as a judge what to do with it. I was like, oh.
That's exactly what I was going to jump on, Asha. I'm a film school grad, and that was one of the, because we just had our high school league coaches meeting, I want to say, about 10 days ago. And but that's the whole thing, particularly with interp, is theater versus film. That's kind of how I boil it down. I get really nervous when we start introducing filmic language into interp. One of the bylaws that I push for, because one of our big schools is 90% low income, and so the online transition is creating a different set of winners and losers. Just in terms of underlying logistics. The school on the Central Coast that always had to drive 3 hours for a local league tournament is very happy right now. But the 90% low-income school where the kids have very little access to technology at home is understandably very upset. And I think the thing is that what I would hope for interps and platforms is that we preserve it so that we're judging kids based upon the merit of the speech and based upon what they can control across the board. There's going to be a lot of socioeconomic issues in terms of who has access to technology, who has access to high-speed internet. I'm hotspotting off my phone right now because my regular internet connection is not working, which is oh so fun to deal with. But I think that from the way I've kind of seen it is that the best practice would be just having a static shot. So think of like a 1905 film where it's just one image and you let the kid perform against a vanilla background of some sort, to let the performance speak for itself. I mean, from a creative perspective, what Robert was talking about standing behind the camera, I think that's awesome. I just don't think that it's fair to the kids who, have to just sit there with like a 10-year-old iPhone or like a $10 phone kind of thing and just film something off their camera. That's my concern here. And I think as long as we can, because the point is that it's speech competition. It's not film competition. Film competition is a whole different beast. So, that's my thought on that.
All right, Victor, you had your hand up next?
Yeah, I think if we're going into the year and it seems like we all seem to be in some sort of consensus that whether we're talking about middle school or high school, everything seems to be planned to go digital, at least for the short term, or at least the fall, and it seems like a lot of maybe leagues are also looking to just in general go online.
Yeah, Tri-County Forensic League is completely online for the fall. Sorry.
Yeah, because I know Coast Forensics League, where I also coach, they've also decided that the fall will be online. So as a result, I think it might be a good idea for us if we feel like we're going to be going into the school year next year and possibly in May having to do the state tournament online again, that we just codify into rules are some of the best practices. Not all of them, right? Like the technology ones wouldn't make any sense. We shouldn't be punishing someone because they don't have all the appropriate technology. But I think the stuff that you guys have already put in there about making sure that the camera is at a set angle and that's it. If it moves, you know, then it's, you know, or it's purposely moved and that's a violation. But those are things that we start codifying now so that we can train our coaches and judges and students to avoid those mistakes moving forward. Because, you know, if we are seeing that leagues are moving online and these same parents are judging their older students and then they're judging the younger students, those norms are going to be imposed on our students regardless, right? I know we saw that from example from Boston, I think Original Oratory, where we had, for example, you know, some kids who were doing 5-minute speeches because at the middle school elementary level, that's, you know, what they're used to. But now they're going against kids who have competed all year at the high school level, you know, 10-minute speeches. Those are things I think, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, there has to be some way of clarifying that and making it official in the book so that we don't have next year multiple people trying to get super creative with how they're positioning and moving their cameras or buying robots and having their parents, you know, move the cameras and pan into them and all
gotcha. That
for them.
I want to just say at this point, we've covered this a lot, and I appreciate your input, and I think it's good to put it in there. Let's go back to it and look at it. The other thing, though, is that I want to make sure that we're also maybe working outside of this committee today and going to these other tournaments that we've been part of that aren't necessarily part of the leagues, and we're collecting those best practices, and we're submitting them to our committee so that we can look at it and say, hey, this one makes sense, and this one's crazy, and et cetera. I think we all kind of owe it to ourselves to be the leaders. We put on one of the biggest online tournaments out there, and so we've got a kind of an obligation to be a leader. And I think that if we can really just do our due diligence and find the best practices and see, and submit them, then our committee has the ability to look at this and process this without taking too much time today. And really trying to jump on, like Victor was saying, setting up strong, comprehensive guidelines that just make us, you know, kind of that leader in the field. And so I appreciate that we're working on that. I think best practices is definitely got to be on the agenda for our committee to nail down. So yeah, thank you, sure. Guys. Is there any other? I'm sorry, Victor. Go ahead.
Ricardo has something.
Oh, he does.
He's using the raise hand function.
I don't see, it's so small on my computer. Yes, Ricardo.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. I was going to ask when are we, because I wanted to propose an original prose and poetry type event for to add to our state tournament for next year. And when is that appropriate moment?
I think it would be here, right?
You just did it. I mean, I think okay. It's one of those where you've mentioned it, you proposed it. We could potentially vote on it now if everyone's in favor of it, or we could put it into the committee meetings to say, okay, this is what we also propose. It's a pretty simple one if you'd like to make a motion.
Yeah, I'd like to motion that we create an original interp or original composition speech. I don't like original prose and poetry as a name because it's not really what often evolves into. But so just anyway, original interpretation where it was created by the student.
This is for a proposal for the state tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second on the floor for that?
Get more information before we maybe second.
Okay, so I would suggest that because it does require more information for some of our people here, that you submit this and then give us that reasoning to it, so that we can evaluate it and look at it and say, okay, yeah, this is something that we need to consider putting in, especially the naming issue, because that can be confusing to people if they're getting a new event. That's always a hard one to get into a tournament and convince people to sign up for. And maybe
may I briefly explain the rationale? I mean, I'm Catholic about the name. I don't really care that much about the name, but may I express briefly in one or two sentences about
sure.
My rationale is that a lot of the students that from inner cities whom I teach, they haven't had a lot of exposure to literature, they don't feel confident in editing or in things like that, but they do have the ability to be funny or dramatic or create vignettes. And so I'd like to tap into their creativity and empower them to be able to do something like that. It's a much easier on-ramp than simply saying, you know, go find yourself a script, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just found that that's something. And so that in the hopes of getting more students of that kind involved, I would love that. Yeah.
Again, let's consider that. Asha, did you have a comment?
I was going to say, it feels very similar to original prose and poetry, and I feel like our audience would be more aware of and know what original prose and poetry is. That could be tweaked a little bit easier. So I would agree, like, so I think I would need more information, because it sounds a lot like original prose and poetry, which already fills that need for kids to
and
bring their own stuff.
Again, let's not belabor it, because I think it is worthy of consideration. And Ricardo, I hope that you can submit again that you know, idea of what it is and what you're thinking and what it serves, which I think is awesome.
By what venue? By email? By what?
Yeah, I would say email to any of the committee members so that we can bring it up in the meeting that plans those kind of events. I think it's a good suggestion, and we need to consider things like that. Matt Conrad?
Yeah, I was going to say, just to piggyback on what Ricardo was saying and also on Robert was saying, we could also, if people want to have that kind of filmmaking I'm thinking we could have like cinematic interpretation or something like that, where you could let kids use stuff like sneaking off the screen and something like that, and you know, making a creative use of film techniques, just, but you kind of put it into one event rather than... rather than have that in every event where it's going to create that socioeconomic disparity.
I think Robert's bringing up the idea that this has already been discussed, and I think we already came up with a solution to it. Robert?
Mm-hmm. Robert? Yeah, I was just trying to say that if we want to have the event, then that's just, we already have the rules in place, right? So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The event is already there. It's got two names. So if you're, as Ricardo said, if you're Catholic about the name, we can call it original interpretation or original prose and poetry, whatever we'd like to call it. There are problems with both those names. OI gets confused with so many other events that's a whole other issue. But the event exists within the bylaws already. And so I think the question now would just become whether we offer it at state or not.
Yep. Do we add it to the events? Okay. Do we want to vote on that? Is there a motion on that?
I motion to add to the state events.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Let's vote on it. So there's been a motion to add original interpretation, whatever it be called, to the state tournament. Signify by saying aye, by raising your hand. I need screens on.
Aye. I'm trying to turn on my screen. Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, so I'm hearing Matt, and I don't see who else I have here.
Stella.
So Stella, since you and Ricardo are both from the same school, you only get one vote per school.
Okay, yeah. That's okay.
I'm trying to eat and not be annoying. So.
Okay, so I appreciate that. It looks like we do not have a majority to pass that. We can revisit it.
How much was it?
There was only four votes. I'm just wondering if we added anything. Robert, do we add any new schools into the meeting? I don't think we did.
We lost schools.
Yeah, you lost some. I think it does pass.
Okay.
I think you have four.
Then for the members that were in attendance on this, it does pass with the 4-3, I believe, if I count that, 4-3 margin. All right, so then awesome. That has been agreed that it will be added to the state tournament. And then we will determine, is everybody on this call okay with us determining what we intend to call it later?
Well, I think, it's already there, right? I mean, it's...
No, I mean, whether we call it OI or OPP or O something.
Or it's OP, original prose.
Well, that would not. I mean,
that's
I don't,
different.
I think that's different. This is original prose and poetry or original interp.
How about original composition?
What we've, well, that's not Germany. That's like, again, reinventing the bylaws that already exist. I think what we had said is that we would actually call it original interp slash OPP, right? So it's called original interp slash OPP. It's not right. original composition or...
Anyone have any objections to that? Because that's
no,
what we
No, that's fine. It's semantics at this point.
Everybody seems good. Awesome. Moving on. I think we've covered pretty much everything unless there's more rule adjustments or a protest or anything like that somebody would like to bring up. Victor?
I think there was a discussion about protest process, or I don't know if that's something we wanted to revisit, because I know that, you know, you and I and Robert had, you know, a couple of stressful situations with protests. Is that something we want to clarify and rewrite the way it works
I think,
in regards to the ombudsman and what happened to the appeal process?
My suggestion would be that we do deal with it in the committee, the five-person committee, because I think what really resolves it is the fact that we have more committee members. And when you have five committee members, that process then becomes doable. With three, it was tough. But I think when you've got five, especially when you've got five and two of them at least are representing Northern California, then we have the ability to say that we can delegate to a different member. And how that works, I think we could determine pretty quickly in the committee.
Can I? I'd like to make a motion.
But that's actually why we said we would... Hold on, Robert. Sure. This is why I think we talked about us making sure that we clarify the language, though, because remember, we decided we could do that at the tournament. We also said that because the tournament bylaws don't allow us to create a separate committee, right, when we ran out of ways for all of us to get involved.
Yeah.
So I really think the language needs to be clarified so that in the situation where, let's say it's a speech round that gets challenged and it happens to have all five of our schools in it, what do we do at that point? So we need to be ready, I think, for the worst-case scenario.
Okay, Robert?
Yeah.
So, Robert, I would like to make the proposal. I'd like to make the motion that we add to the bylaws that if protests cannot be dealt or cannot be decided fairly with the board, the five-person board, then a group of randomly chosen coaches from participating schools at that tournament be collected. I would say a three coach panel from randomly selected schools will be assembled to decide. And those coaches should obviously not have a participating, you know, school, right? So they, the clean coaches that don't have any, and I can work that wording out if you'll give me the chance to work that out in a little bit, just kind of phrase it better. But that's the idea, is just like basically three coaches from schools that do not have anybody involved with all of that should be selected randomly, like from all the other participating schools. They'll be assembled, they would hear it out, and then they would make the decision if the five-person committee is dirty on everybody.
Would you mind writing that up then?
Yeah, I was just trying to do that real quickly, but that's the motion I want to make.
Okay. Is there a second on that motion? I'm sorry, there's discussion here. What do we got? Janelle?
So have it be a three jury panel in case of like lack of deliberation or something like that.
Only if the five committee member is not available to it. In other words, there's conflicts, then it would become a three coach panel. And should we be specific how we determine that coach panel, Robert?
I said random. That's what my motion was.
Didn't we also say making sure that there was equal representation across the region, so it's not all Southern
California? At least one member of each region.
That wasn't my motion, but I can add that.
Are you friendly to that?
I'm friendly to that.
Okay. All right. So the motion is to, I'll just try to summarize it the best I can, that we have a process in place that involves establishing a three-coach committee representing each region to provide for ombudsman protest when all five of the committee members are involved or conflicted within, oh geez, how am I doing?
or they're unavailable for any reason. I think or unavailability should just be very, yeah, I think it should just be left vague like that, because unavailable could mean, yeah, you're unavailable because it deals with your child, or you're unavailable because you're Robert and you're running the tournament and you're trying to, like, put out five fires at the tournament, right?
Okay.
I think that, yeah.
All right, Robert, you got something for us?
I'm still working on it. It's going to take me a few minutes. I think we're all on the same page. I think you just give me,
yeah,
trust me to word it, and I'll, if you guys want to vote
on
it.
Are there. Is there a second on this motion of vagueness but still clarity? Second.
Okay.
Let's vote. All those in favor of this motion to establish a process involving a three-coach committee to help with protests, as determined in Robert's language, hopefully soon. Please signify by raising your hand. Aye. It's fine. It passes. All right, great. Robert, when he gets done with that. In the meantime, in an effort to try to close up the meeting as quick as we can, because I know that people are trying to go, I haven't eaten my lunch yet. It's getting soggy. Do we have any new business? Or do we have any agenda items that maybe we don't want to necessarily vote on right now, but that we definitely want to bring into the committee so that we can address and come back to you guys and say, here's what we're thinking of. Victor, you have some?
Two things. One, I did want to kind of deal with it today, but I think it's something that might require us to take some more time to talk about. But I know we had issues with the evidence challenge and what is considered evidence and the standards of evidence in each debate. And I think that was something we had said that we would discuss. But it sounds like we're probably running out of time for that today, and it's probably going to open up a bigger can of worms, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I
would suggest that perhaps we review the NSDA evidence guidelines, page 11.
Yeah,
And then
I think those are the most robust.
Yeah, and then be able to submit back and say, I think it should be the NSDA, or that it could be something a little different, but that you submit that to the committee for us to consider. Because I'm a big fan of the NSDA evidence committee, you know, rules,
and
I think that's what I would suggest. But if anyone has a difference to it or exceptions, I'd want to make sure we heard it.
Yeah, because I know CHASA has the whole thing about making sure your evidence is actually exchanged with the team, something that I felt was a problem at the tournament this weekend, and you and I dealt with like five different challenges.
Yeah, we did.
Where that was the case, so just establishing a clear rule on what is considered appropriate and or proper evidence exchange between students and someone requests it, and when it's challengeable and leads to a disqualification.
So okay.
I feel that was where there was a gray area, and I think you have Asha and Matt.
Yeah, Asha, you had your hand up, and then Matt.
Yeah, I just wanted to, for today, but again, I don't know if we already addressed it and I just missed it, or I'm blacking out because I need to eat lunch as well. The 8x8 issue, because I said again, I am just a little concerned with the technology platform, that there was a lot of lag. I know there's not much we can do technology-wise, but also just maybe on the judge end, that because a lot of judges were docking kids down because of something that's not their control, giving them that chance to, like, correct it if they performed in,
sure,
especially for the interns. The interns were so chaotic, it caused a lot of lag.
Let me ask you a question. Like, have your kids or you been part of any other technology?
What was that?
Have your kids or you been involved in any other technology that you think might, you know, have been different?
Yeah, so that's what I was like bringing up, because I've compared like Google Hangouts, Zoom. I just used WebEx the other day and 8x8. Zoom has the least amount of lag for whatever reason. Even my kids have brought that up. Google Hangouts is very laggy. 8x8, sometimes it's glitchy. And WebEx seemed to work well. Again, I don't know. Like I said, all of them, I don't know what, I'm not IT and I don't understand why, but I just, that was one of the things that I noticed, is that Zoom seems to be the most stable for kids who are doing interps, whereas 8x8, when they start moving back away from the camera, that's when this issue starts to happen. I know that's partly internet connection, but it seems to be the platform is the most as far as glitchy when it comes to stability.
We will definitely take that, you know, and listen to that. The problem I know right now is that there's some issues with how much has been integrated with the tab software, et cetera. So it's an issue I think we can bring up in a committee meeting, or at least maybe bring up, you know, via email as well. Matt, you had a point?
Yeah, okay, give me one second here. Yeah, we I'm looking up because we just did the Ronald Reagan Great Communicator online qualifier, and I think it might have been Hop In or Jump In, but it was like, I think Hop In was the name. But it was another platform. But the two issues that I was concerned about was just, number one was just Central Valley and rural outreach, just to kind of balance out the demographic diversity. And then secondly was also just, I think, to piggyback on what Robert said before, I think it would be really interesting, you know, because we want to kind of keep it fair generally in terms of the interpret events, the platforms, in terms of keeping it technology neutral. But I think something like a cinematic interp or a filmic interp, to let, you know, to jump right, you know, head first, face first into the Zoom technology would be an interesting experimental event too. So okay. I think it's something to think about.
Yeah. Gotcha. So,
and let me look up. I'm opening up the,
if you could suggest to us, how you mm-hmm. feel a solution would be to reach out to the central. You know, I understand, I hear you that it's an issue, and I'd like to be able to incorporate it better. But it'd be interesting to see how we reach them better. The problem we have is that we have been excluded from most of the CHASA conversations, uh-huh. and I think they probably have the biggest, you know, email and mailing list of those kinds uh-huh. of schools, and then they won't let us look at those either. And so we have these member schools, and you know, we do our best to try to reach out the best we can. But maybe there's other ideas, and if you could help us there, I'd definitely appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Victor, did you have a point?
I'm going to see if I can remember who I ran into at Berkeley that's from the Central Valley that might be able to help us out. I think he used to run the Sanger program, and I think now is at Osteggie High School, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
I have to forget his name. We had a long conversation, and I think he might be a good person for this. I think something else that might be helpful for us as well as an organization, for new business, in regards to making sure that we have enough time or at least the ability to review proposals in advance. This is something our league does before we create bylaws and make changes to the bylaws, is that all bylaw proposals are submitted in writing, and that they either take the portion of the bylaw that is going to be, you know, revised, and they put the revisions in a different color so that we can review it, take a look at it beforehand before we show up and vote for it. And the reason why I say that that's something that we should do is just because I feel like, sure, there are some things that we can rush and get through for the sake of urgency, but I do feel that if this is going to be a long-term project and these are things that we want to work on, you know, and make sure that regardless of whose programs are still here when this is, you know, a bigger thing, that, you know, the system is set up in a way that everyone can participate, that everyone is heard, and that, you know, when someone proposes something, that we have all the details so that we're not spending, you know, 2-3 hours on a call and trying to, you know, go through every single problem. Some of us want to push for more details. Some of us don't want to push for more details. If we can avoid that by just making sure proposals are submitted in advance, so I think that would help.
I didn't hear. Sorry, what's the last part?
Sorry, I was going to say it might remove some of the tense situations that sometimes occur when we're trying to find more information, but some of us are trying to move on to the next agenda item. You know, and it also would help us avoid having a meeting where we have to put it on the first half and then disappear for the second half as well. So we can just be more efficient about.
All right. And two things on that. First of all, the meeting was announced. We asked for any kind of input and asked for anybody to, you know, give us those things. And so, you know, hopefully we can just jump on that a little quicker too, is that actually put these kind of things in there so we can put them on agendas. I totally agree. The SCGFL already does that kind of thing that you're talking about. I know it highlights it, colors it, and puts out the ability for us to, you know, comment on it. And so I know that we can integrate that process really quickly. And I think that's a great idea. Honestly, it also avoids misinterpretation of, and it also hopefully helps us clarify what is the point, you know, that we're trying to make and how we're really trying to back up, you know, what our request is. So I double down on what you said. I think it's an awesome idea. Did we have any, Stella, did you have something?
Yeah, I have a few things, you know, really make me think about the fees. You know, in the past, we have all the physical sites and up to them decide how to charge the fees. And right now, we don't have any physical sites anymore, and looks the fees we need to put into the bylaw how to charge the fees for each school. And that one need, you know, everybody voted before we really charge the fees to schools. It's, the numbers we were being charged is so high, it's kind of make the events not enjoyable anymore. You know, we need a healthy learning environment. People feel comfortable to stay with, and but right now it's out of the limit.
So, Stella, let me interrupt real quick on that one. If you could then identify, you know, what the issue exactly is, because we don't want to take too much time in this meeting, but the idea.
The every tournament we have fees chart, and we need really finalize in the bylaw how much to be charged.
I get it. I understand that. If you could identify that in an email form,
okay,
then we can actually look at it and say, okay, where do we need to hit each of these concerns? Because I want to make sure that we're addressing each of those. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had some other points.
Yeah, and I, you know, we do have a lot of online tournament right now. You know, it's kind of around 30 tournaments, and I experienced a pandemic, and you know, it's kind of different platform the way they do it. But I feel, you know, in the end of the day, I don't have much pressure as ICJFL. You know, I feel comfortable, more comfortable in those environment, and we also did a WebEx. Is you know, the first beginning is really a little bit hard, but then, you know, after you enter, is less issue there. So you know, we need really look at all the platforms and make people really feel, you know, be part of the things and enjoy the things. Basically, we don't want stress in the end of the day. That's my main concern for the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other concerns or issues anybody wants to bring up here? Robert?
Ricardo has it.
Oh, Ricardo.
Yeah. Ricardo has his hand up, but I think I had my hand up before Stella, so it was kind of, I don't think you saw me.
Oh, whatever. I didn't.
I want to address two things. So I want to say, first of all, that the fees that we had this discussion a few times at local tournaments, that the fees are set by the tournament host. So the tournament host sets the fees based off of usually like what their requirements are in terms of the staff that they need to hire, if they need to hire additional cleanup crews and things like that. So all of those fees are set usually by the tournament host, not by the league. And we actually
let's keep the discussion towards the state tournament at this point.
Well, that is what I'm saying. It's like the state tournament fees would be set by the host. Right, so that's where all of that comes from, and that's where the fees come from. Additionally, I wanted to mention that I wrote the language. Okay. I put it in the chat for you, but I just want to say it out loud so that it's recorded onto the minutes. So this is what I propose to put into the bylaws. So unless anybody has any problems with the language, which I'm sure everyone will want to jump on and tweak. But it says, if a protest cannot be resolved with committee members, e.g. because of conflicts, the protest shall be heard by an ad hoc jury of coaches from schools participating in the tournament. The jury will be randomly selected. I'm sorry, I'll add the word be. The jury will be randomly selected. In CMSF tournaments, one coach should be from Northern California and one from Southern California, if possible. The jury shall decide the outcome of the protest, and no further appeal may be made. This jury may also be assembled in the case of an appeal to the original ombudsman's decision.
I like that last part.
I think that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll add the word B in there. Sorry, I didn't have that in the original writing, but I will add it there.
Ricardo?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, two quick things. Well, at least one's quick. One's quick. The first one is regarding the email. Will we be getting the emails?
You dropped
that. Could be an email tree or something? Will it be an email? Will there be an email tree?
Robert, we have a CMSF list.
Yeah, we have a listserv that we've been using.
Yeah.
What's your question? I'm sorry, I don't understand what the question is.
So, because I was told to you know, propose whatever, submit something later, I forget what it was about, but I wanted to know if I was supposed to submit to that tree, that listserv, is that what we're supposed to... I'm not sure everyone here even has that.
If you submit it to one of the board members, I think the board members can share it with
you. I'd rather not. I'd rather it be to everyone. I'd rather not just go through one person. That's okay. I mean, just like to get
to to add all the committee members. You want it to be able to go to all the committee members?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, but why isn't it? It shouldn't be hard.
I personally am not in charge of the listserv, so...
Did you CC all of
them? Well, I don't have them. I don't have the emails of Cynthia, of Asha. Yeah.
You might have Jacqueline?
Jacqueline,
sorry. Jacqueline.
We could get to the conversation chat box window, and you can get to that way. Type mine's up right above the protest language.
And the second one that I had is also, I don't know where I'm really proud of the tournament that we had. Now that we've had so many tournaments now at the SCJFL, like five of them or six of them that are online. A lot of my even a lot of my upper middle class or whatever lower upper class students are experiencing, you know, I won't call it fatigue, but you know, it's a toll on their families, right? And these are kids who have an extra room in their house. These are kids who have the ability to, you know, get a quiet space, which means basically that kids of color and kids from poor areas are completely aced out of this scenario. Now, it doesn't have to be today, but I'd like us to consider understanding the wisdom of the NSDA to go to a recording format for IEs, not for debate, not for Congress, not for impromptu, not for SPAR, but for IEs. I am absolutely convinced that it is the fairest on-ramp for lower-income students to be given a chance to at least record something for 15 minutes when they don't have a laptop, when they don't have high-speed internet all day long, when they don't have a quiet space. That is the only, otherwise we're basically saying, you need not apply unless you can be available all freaking day long or for 3 days, which many of these kids, some of them who live in a single room with their families, cannot possibly hijack their living room for 3 days. So what I'm saying is I'm passionate about this. I will be pushing it, that if we truly want an accessible thing, the reason the NSDA went that route is because they understand that that's the reality that faces poor kids. So we are not friendly to that whatsoever, and I do hope we understand that we go.
Okay.
Yeah, tone deaf.
All right, guys. Okay. Any other new, Stella?
Yeah, and we found out during the competition several kids being muted, you know, especially by the finalists, you know, that section. That's something we
I
need.
I think that's more 8x8, though. Sorry to... Yeah. API, yeah, the kids can mute each other. Yeah. Some kids were being mean and doing that. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, you have the floor next?
Yeah, sorry, just real quick. If I was freezing up, it was me trying to get into my computer to find out. The platform that we used for the Reagan debates was called Hop In. Hop, H-O-P-I-N. And it was actually pretty good. It was just like a bigger version of Zoom in the sense that they had like 60 competition rooms. So you log into the website, and then we had like the main assembly room. Then we had the student lounge. We had the judge lounge. We had the tab room, and then we had like 60 competition rooms. And so then you'd get your pairing blast on tab room, and then it would say, you know, so like students and judges go to competition room number 50. And so then you'd wait for everybody to get there, and just like a regular round, you'd hit click start round, and it went pretty smoothly. That was the platform I was looking for.
Thank you.
Hop Victor? In. Yep.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the idea of in-person versus like recording, because I feel like, you know, this is something that will definitely be an area of clash, I think, for the remainder of the year and next year. I'm kind of like torn about which one, because one, I don't know how successful the recordings have necessarily been. I know a lot of people complained about the TOC and the lack of interaction that happened. Like, literally, it was a judge sitting with a bunch of empty, non-speaking, you know, you can say chat members, and like the students weren't even engaging or interacting with each other. Something that I heard from a lot of schools, especially those that competed at the online tournament I ran earlier in the year, is that they were excited and happy to see that things were returning into a live event, because, you know, it allowed them to interact with students. I think, you know, the students muting each other could be issues that we can fix. I think that we can maybe bring that up to 8x8 to see if that's something where if there's a way for them to make it more like Zoom, where you can make someone a host and they're the only ones that have sole discretion and access to who to kick out and who to mute, I think that would be for us to consider, because, yeah, I think it's unfair that students are sabotaging each other if that's what's happening. But we also probably want to figure out the most affordable and accessible route, because, you know, TLC did charge a ton of money for a website that someone could create, in my opinion, at least a bare-bones version of what they did within a week. Because that's basically what we did for the tournament for Pandabetic, is we created a website that was, you know, you logged in, you went into an 8x8 room, but, you know, these rooms were never posted on the website tab room. All they saw was a S1 for speech room 1. And so they knew that when they went on the website, S1 was the room where they would be performing. And so I think that there's a lot of different angles that we got to consider when we're doing this, but I'm just not 100% convinced that reporting is going to fix it. Because in my opinion, a lot of the same concerns you bring up about, you know, a quiet space are 10 times worse in a debate round, because debate rounds are sometimes 5 or 6 times or in a tournament. They are 1.5 to 2 hours long. And so I don't know. I feel like people are going to be asking questions as to why we're doing some events live and some events recorded. And there's going to be some reason or justification for us to give to those individuals as to why we're doing that. And it might throw some people off regardless of which one you choose.
Yeah, I didn't ask for debate.
Okay. Matt, you had your hand up first, and then Robert.
Yeah. Sorry, just to piggyback on what Victor was saying. Yeah, I judged the West LA online qualifier. It was actually a really great experience. It was Ian Lamberg and Bobby Labeda and a couple other people. We had judges from all over the country, but that was the thing. when we had the TCFL coaches meeting, about 10 days ago, I think generally we agreed that the in-person round by round is best. But what Ricardo's getting back to is, I think that's the realistic option here is, and the challenge for speech events in particular is that, you know, when you're up there performing, you feed off of the audience, right? Especially in the comedy events. And if it's just a taped performance, you don't get that. When I judged rounds like that, we especially the elimination rounds, when the national bids were on the line, we tried to run it like a film festival, in the sense that we would all gather in the breakout room to go ahead and then some of the kids were there, and then one at a time we would post the link for each speech or each interp and say, okay, let's watch this and come back in 10 minutes. We'll write up our ballots and then on to the next competitor and on to the next competitor, to try and run it as close to a real speech round as possible. I think that's fair. The only thing too is just with the recordings, I'm not a fan by any stretch of the imagination. This was my whole theater versus film thing that I was saying before. But yeah, I mean, I guess this is just where we're flat out up against reality. And I haven't, and to be honest, I hadn't really thought about it from the competitor standpoint of kids having to sit around in their competition clothes, you know, waiting for hours, and because there's not the social interaction part. But I think if we had the student lounge online, like I was saying with the Reagan debates, that might be a good intermediate step there. I think the big thing is just there's a lot of interest here. We need to keep talking about it. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Robert, you were next.
I want to say a few things about that. Number one, like I started doing online tournaments in 2010. Eric Roebuck hosted what was the first college online, and it actually got AFA legs. So for those of you that were familiar with that, like that was approved by AFA to do in 2010. And even at that time, they were recorded, and what the AFA found out, and there have been a number of people that have done non-synchronous tournaments, and their research has shown that the problem with those tournaments is that judges don't watch all of the video. They will watch the first minute, and then they don't finish watching. They go, okay, I know enough about this, and they don't watch the entire performance. Doing a live in-person tournament, there's a lot more pressure on the judge to pay attention. Even there, there's a, you know, we've already just got through discussing, there's a lot of coaches who don't pay the recognition and credit to the students that needs to be given credit. I hear what we're saying about disenfranchising low-income students. I do want to remind everybody that we can't be all things to all people, and maybe there are other opportunities for people to do non-synchronous tournaments. And then additionally, one thing to remind everybody is that we're saying, all right, they have to be in their competition clothes, as you were saying, Matt, and waiting around all day. That's not true. I mean, really, you could mute yourself if you have a busy room, and if you're doing one speech event, that's three rounds, maybe a final, and you really only need to have everybody be quiet and have the internet really, really working for the 10 minutes of your speech. So before you go, you can even say, okay, I'm about to give my speech. Can we have silence for the next 10 minutes while I perform in the room? So we're talking total something that could be less than an hour out of somebody's day to perform. Now, that's not ideal. I get that. But ultimately, I keep going back to, we can't be all things to all people. We have to be able to make some decisions that are eventually going to hurt some people. But I think if we start going down that avenue of allowing the opportunity for judges to not fully watch performances, that's a real nasty route, in my opinion.
Well, I think I talked about that.
Yeah, Ricardo wanted to speak, yeah.
So. I think Ricardo has his hand up. Asha did too. I don't know which one had it up first, though. Without the screen up, I can't.
Go ahead, Asha. I mean, I have what I know what I need to say.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I think that both sides have valid points, except having worked with my kids intimately on this, and I get what Ricardo is saying. Like I said, again, it is very much a challenge for some students to be able to commit to have the, you know, viewing time. But I also understand that some of my kids, like, who didn't do as well with recordings, it was because, like I said, it's stagnant. Like, it's hard. You're not getting the feedback. It's a very complex issue of how do we be fair across the board. And I think that's something that we need to research and put more time and investment in, versus brushing it under the table or trying to rush through it right now. And especially in the absence of time, since we spent so much time today, that this is something I feel like we need to put on the agenda and actually really have a discussion about it, because it's not fair to say that some kids will be excluded from something that they've worked really hard on because they don't have access. Like, that's never a fair thing. And that is something we can be like, oh, well, you're not, you know, rich enough to be able to participate. That's what's supposed to be. Yeah, like,
Ricardo,
like, a thing that all kids can do. Like, you don't have to have equipment, you don't have to have money, you don't have to have nice clothes. So I'm like, wow, like, I don't mean to get like super emotional about this, but like, for that kid who doesn't have that, this needs to be accessible. We need to find a way. So I don't think there's an excuse to not do that. So let's try our best, but it's something I don't think we can get through today. So
Ricardo, you have the
Right. So what Asha was saying is what I'm saying as well. It gets sentimental for me too. I don't want to hear we can't be there. Now, that's exactly why the NSDA is doing what it's doing, and that's, we need to understand that. Like, I don't accept it's tough cookies for the poor kids. I don't buy that at all. Now, I want to say also, it's not just a matter of the boredom. It's not the boredom issue. It's the fact that they don't even have access to high speed internet, to good recording equipment. It's and to quiet spaces. Some of my students live in garages. So exactly what part? Like, are they supposed to ask their family to leave for the next 10 hours so they can? Like, no. It's for the baby to stop crying, right? So what I'm just saying is, it is in our hands. We do have that option. I mean, it's not as fun. It's not as convenient. Maybe to us. I agree. I loved our tournament, right? For those who have access, it is great. So I love our tournament. Let me be clear about that. I love what we just had. It's more exciting, but it does not provide the access. So at the end of the day, we need to give up our fun so we can be more accessible. But let me also say this, it's also better for judges. When I just judged both the 3-piece speech and the mask junior, and they were a lot of fun. I saw them, I judged them, it was great. The performances were wonderful. I felt no disconnect with the students whatsoever. Also the judges get to judge on their own time, which my parents have told me is much better for them. If they are working parents, they would sign up to judge, but they can't judge during the day or be on call for 10 hours. But with a recorded tournament, they can judge when they're off hours. So it's much more also democratic and accessible for parents to be judges. And that's another plus.
All right. If I could say something on this one, too. You bring up good points. 3P, Mass Junior, we participate in those as well. And I think
that's awesome. You're great.
Thanks. I think, I understandably, those are the tournaments that you go to and you expect that to happen. I think, just like any other different kinds of tournaments, that we have to have a mix of live tournaments and those tournaments. And I think those tournaments exist. The other thing, too, is we talk a lot about fairness, but action. I mean, we gave 7 scholarships away last year, and we provided computers and cameras to students to help them get connected and help them do those things. And we afforded that by creating a system to provide them with that access and that ability, including working with one kid about their home access to the internet. So we can talk about it a lot, but it's up to us as well to get it done and to make it work. So, and I think, like I said, there's other tournaments that do allow that access, and I think they're great.
But if we are the California State Tournament, then we are denying them access to the California State Tournament, right?
Agreed. And I honestly think that we've denied them that access for multiple years. Not that it's right, but they can't travel and they can't do other things too. So we can do the best we can, but I think we can do more. And so I get your point. Victor?
Yeah, so again, I think that a lot of the points that are being brought up are valid, but you know, pointing out a lot of the things that Robert and everyone has said, these inequalities are going to exist in one way or manifest themselves in another way, regardless of which format. Like you yourself, Ricardo, said that not everyone has like appropriate recording equipment, right? So that's going to be an issue that happens in both. I think the issue of not finding a quiet space is even worse in a debate round where you have multiple periods of time where you have to talk and interact with your partner and your judge. So these are things that we're going to have to work with in both worlds. And I think that the other thing is we should not assume that we're in this, like, we're not at the height. Well, actually, I don't even know where we're at in the pandemic at this point, right? But, you know, we have to assume that things are going to get better and some of the restrictions that we have now that might limit us and limit some of our students from participating might go away. For example, I know Chris Wardner, who was just here, he had his students for the state tournament take over different rooms at his school. So he had like one or two teams in each room at the school. I don't know how he did that and whether it was in line with compliance of school rules, but regardless, right, there's ways that we're going to have to get creative to ensure kids have access to a stable connection and the proper equipment. I think we as an organization, if we have additional funds that we can set up for next year to ensure students who can't afford a reliable internet connection or, you know, the proper equipment, that we're able to facilitate some of that in some way. I know that's something that I know our league is talking about doing for some of the schools in the area around here. And yeah, so I think that maybe updating and becoming creative with some of the best practices, what can some of the squads do that have a large concentration of students that don't have high-speed internet and proper equipment at home, how we can help them into getting into either a school or finding some sort of business or company that might allow us to use their space. And maybe they could be a sponsor that way, right? Like, I know here in the Bay Area, there's a lot of co-working spaces, or, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of our, you know, I know, especially in our program, a lot of our, you know, parents own their own small businesses, you know, consulting for some of the big Silicon Valley firms here. Maybe we could borrow some of their space for some of the students out here where they can use that or even use some of our facilities that we have. But I think there's ways to make this work while also acknowledging, I think a lot of what has been said is that, you know, regardless of which format we do, there's going to be obstacles that are going to keep some people out. I don't know if we're going to be able to get everyone in, but I think, yeah, working towards the highest amount of accessibility would probably be the best goal for our organization.
Asha, I'm going to jump real quick, but as a committee, I think that we can commit to the idea that we will look for the best ways, that we will search for those alternatives and try to come up with those. Because I think we all recognize your point, and we think that, you know, that's worthy, definitely. Asha, you were next, and then I think Ricardo had his hand up after that.
Yeah, I just had a quick question because I have to get to another meeting.
Yeah.
It's okay if I turn this over and let our my yeah. other representative take over any other business we need, or do you guys need me to stay?
I think if you have somebody else here, which I think you do with Janelle, right?
Janelle?
Yeah, I need to leave in a little bit too. So.
Janelle, okay, thank you. And then if you do have to leave, we're going to try to wrap this up. Ricardo, you had a point, and I think if we could try to put an end to it at that and say, let's make sure that we are communicating the best we can to the committee members, that we are getting, and the committee members are doing their job, looking into solutions, looking into best practices, so that when we get to our next meeting, which I hope we can organize soon, we've got things a little straightened out, and we've got an agenda, and we've got, like Victor said, bylaw issues that are identified, and perhaps even suggestions on how we alter them so that we can get through this quicker, because nobody likes a 3-4 hour meeting. I get it. So let's try to avoid it best we can and come up with something that actually structures it. Ricardo, you had a comment?
Yeah, really. I'll be brief. So first of all, I do agree with Victor that, you know, there are going to be inequalities regardless of the format. I want to reassure him because he keeps referring to debate. I said debate would be off the table in terms of that. I'm talking only about IEs, not debate. Debate would be live. So I'm not suggesting that would be otherwise. But I'm talking about IEs. And I'm regarding that. It's also not just the issue of even if we give them recording access and all that, what I find is also crushing for the students that are poor is they aren't able to get away for 10 hours at a time. Now, you might say, well, that's the case even with a live tournament. True. But when we go to record it, they only need to be available for 15 minutes, record their ask to borrow a laptop, record themselves, and go back to their lives. So it completely opens up access to poor kids, unlike any other version. Way better than in person and way better than synchronous. So what I'm talking about is the elimination of the 10-hour requirement to be present where they can go back and help their dad at the flea market. So what I'm saying is the poor can finally be a part of speech and debate with recorded version, with asynchronous. And I'm saying that's a previously unavailable option, and we should reach for it if it's there. And that's a difference.
Okay. All right. So we've got hopefully some things accomplished today. And I've tried to copy everything out of the chat, so I've got everybody's email, I believe. I don't know if I've got, I got Jacqueline. I don't, Asha left. So if I
think Asha left and then put her.
Yeah, we needed Asha's email. So if, Janelle, if that's okay with your operation that we could get that, I hope she's okay with it. Maybe you could check with her first and then have it forward, to us as quick as possible. I'll get it into that chat before we sign off. So that the people that want to submit stuff can submit it to all committee members. I think that's fair. I think I see David.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I know.
Are you okay to put Asha's email address into the chat so that we can reach all the committee members?
Sure, yeah.
Do you have that?
I just sent it to you.
Awesome. So there it is. If everyone... are we okay to put that out, David?
Yes, it's okay.
Great. I'm going to copy it into the text, into the chat, and so that everybody has it. I thought I was going to. Give me a second. I'm almost there. Yay, there it is. Did it work? No, send to the group. Okay, did everyone see that? So there, now you have all 4 or 5 committee members. Victor, all the way down to Asha, and I'll copy that into my notes and make sure that we all have that ability to contact us, which I appreciate. Okay. I think I might just have sent a lot of emojis somehow. I don't know if that was me or not.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Yes. All right. All these...
What's our conclusion to Ricardo's suggestion with the videotape?
We would consider it, put it into the committee, and figure out strive to figure out the best way to achieve things like what he's asking for, because he's made some good points in that and how to do it. and the logistics of it, the explanation of the at the committee look at that and really talk about the idea of in what more of your life. I don't think it's that to where everybody looks at it as, okay, we considered it. Now we figure out that maybe to accomplish it in a way that goes forward. I can say from my perspective as a committee member that I'm for trying, but committing to it or agreeing to it right now, I just don't have the time for it, honestly.
Victor? Yeah, so before we do that, is there going to be agreed upon meeting?
Yeah, I think we could. I mean, honestly, I'd like to have a meeting after the two national tournaments, so that we can kind of assess what happened there, issues that maybe happened that we get into it. So I suggest that we have it perhaps 2 weeks after the NSDA nationals.
End of June.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
How does that work for the committee members?
Asha's not here. We should probably ask her.
What I suggest here, and I don't mean this to be anything, but I suggest we have a committee meeting and that we work through these issues so we can have a meeting like this where we can present what we've come up with and we can say, okay, this is where we're at. This is what we've got. Give us your input to make sure that we, you know, have listened to your concerns. That's what I would suggest. Is it?
What? So would that meeting be for that then? So the June 30th or the end of June, beginning of July, is that meeting just for the five members or is that going to be open to everyone else?
My thought is that we do that because we do have to focus on the ombudsman, the treasurer, and so many issues that are you know pertinent to that so that we can come back to a group like this and not take 4 hours to get through all the different things that we need to get through.
So
that we can really just... And present it, maybe email first, and then say we're going to have a meeting to discuss these things.
Okay. So can we accept submissions from non-committee members for us to discuss?
I think we have to.
Okay. Yeah. So can we send out an email then in the next 2-3 days to remind people that the only way that we can really thoroughly and deliberate is if we have proposals in writing in advance, and so we're going to have a meeting on this day, and we request
I think
all documents or docket items by 1 week before or something like that? Or
yeah, I think with your experience in doing that with your other committee or your other league, mm-hmm. It'd be great if you could volunteer to do that and send that out to everybody.
Okay. I just don't know if I have access. Oh, no, actually, I think I just...
just send it to the list.
CMSF listserv, right? Okay.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. That'll get to everybody.
Okay. And is there a specific format that I've worked with this before? In regards to how we intake them in. I know Robert said you guys had a system. I just have never seen your guys'. Ours are usually just emailed Google Docs, and people just leave their comments.
Yeah, I think we have the CMSF. I'll look into technology that I'll do that side of it and see if I can do more of a group submission and group email or something that might facilitate that better. But in the meantime, I think we're okay and fair to communicate through the CMS at cgfl.org listserv because that's in place and it's ready to go.
Okay, so I'll send out an email then saying, welcome, these are your new committee members. We are planning on having. Can we decide on a date? Do you want me to send out a meeting? Do you want me to send out an email to all committee members first to determine the date that we're actually going to meet?
For
everyone before sending out the listserv one.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get nail that down. Then we'll send out the email to follow up with everybody to get us their input.
Okay. Cool. And then
Matt, just real quick, if you're having trouble settling up on a date too, the other thing you can do is put out 10 times on a doodle poll and send it to everybody on the listserv and just try and get back as many votes as possible. I mean, it's like everything else here where we've got to figure out a way to split the difference.
Sure.
So
thank you, Grant.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll get going on that. Then we'll have a date for you guys. And then we hope that we get your input. We'll get going on our end and working hard and then try to get a meeting where we can get everybody back together to kind of put out what we have thought about and have come to, you know, what we've looked at and what we've come to some conclusions on, and so that we can get your input on it and see if we want to readdress it or change what we've come up with.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, everybody. Yeah, stay safe. They're just got a news blast that there's some looting at Santa Monica Place right now.
Yeah,
so
it's going all over. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy, everybody.
Bye, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yep.